5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Galactic Realm and Bridgeview. Here. One has to wonder what the hell goes through some people's heads. A Paws volunteer rescued a cat over the weekend because the animal had been tortured with firecrackers.
That sucks.
Yes, some teens had strapped firecrackers to the cat and lit them.
That sucks.
Okay, now I know what I'd like to see on the 4th. I would like to see these ditch rats caught, have fireworks strapped to them, and lit.
Yes! Yes!
You stoonads! A woman climbed over the barrier at the Memphis Zoo to the enclosure where lions are kept and tried to offer them cookies and sang to them.
She's terrifying!
Hey, Mufasa, dinner is served!
See you, bye-bye.
Nom, nom.
I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from Chewbacca's You Store It.
I have a bad feeling about this.
On WGN.FM, the Super G, the Streamliner, in Chicago! How many nutballs are walking the street, Mr. Tom Skilling? I ask you, issue one.
Gary, more than there should be, that's for sure.
This story that I started with,
yeah.
I couldn't believe it on the news last night. Some idiot teens in Inglewood, I believe, strapped firecrackers to this cat and then lit them.
Oh, brother.
And you got to wonder, really.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Is it in the water? Are these people completely unhinged?
I don't know.
That really gets me nuts.
Yeah, that if a little animal, I don't know, as a pet owner, that hits you where it hurts, doesn't it?
Well, again, and they showed this cat, and they showed the burn marks, and thank God the Paws person rescued the cat. I think the cat's been adopted and is in relatively good health considering, but I see a story like that, and it just drives me nuts.
Do they know who did it?
I don't think they caught anybody.
Wow.
I think these idiots just put the stuff on the cat and then ran.
Yeah.
And I'm frightened, really.
I know. I know.
It's what I see.
Pretty inhuman, isn't it?
You think, yeah.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling.
Well, I don't know what to do anymore, Tom. I'm trying to wave a flag going, we need to get these idiots off the street.
I know. It's really something. I don't know. You wonder where the rest of the family is when all this is going on.
Well, listen. We all did stupid stuff when we were kids, but
boy.
I'll tell you what, it never veered remotely into that.
No, I never would have thought of torturing or hurting an animal. That does go a little too far.
I mean, I feel bad for putting a magnifying glass on ants now.
Yeah.
I guess
I know.
I guess I'm as guilty, but I didn't know. But certainly I would know a firecracker on a cat is not the way to go.
No.
And they always say these serial killers.
I know, they start as animal torturers, right?
Exactly.
I mean, wasn't, what's his name up in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, Jeffrey Dahmer? He was supposed to be into that kind of stuff.
They've done research, and just about every one of those serial killers started torturing
animals. Yeah.
And it just moves on from there. I got this text, 6 months from today is Christmas.
Oh, so is that your friend there that keeps reminding you the days are getting shorter now?
Could be. That FM station's probably going to start their Christmas music in about 2 weeks.
Right.
Although, we laugh, but I have noticed that it used to be right after Labor Day. They've now gone to right after the 4th of July. Yeah.
Is that right? Seriously?
Well, I swear to God, you're going to start seeing some creep.
Christmas ads and all.
As far as Christmas goes, right after the 4th of July, I figure, what the hell?
Yeah.
If we can get them hooked now, we got 6 months of selling.
Yes. It's pretty amazing. Well, if you live by the lake, you probably could be forgiven for feeling that maybe we've missed summer because for a week we've had
this. What is going on with this fog?
Yeah, you know, it's really remarkable. And what you don't realize, if you don't move a couple miles inland or have any reason to travel a couple miles inland, you don't realize it's just right up against the lake. But
holly jolly.
There we go. Yeah. Good old Burl Ives.
6 months isn't a long time.
No,
and I'm thinking,
not.
If it's anything like last winter, I'm going to be an alcoholic.
Gee. Well, especially if we don't get you some hot weather this summer. I thought
Rams, my man Ramsey, said we got some heat coming.
We do. This weekend, and it'll come, this stuff will get right up to the lakefront. So Jim is right on. I think Saturday, Sunday, even Monday, nice warm summer-like weather. This is, the first official weekend of summer, so it's well-timed, that's for sure. But I think we'll be flirting with 90 each of those days. Thing is, we'll have these thunderstorms that pop up, and around there, around those things, you get some cooling.
What did I hear Jim say last night, that this is the
fourth wettest July or June open that we've had here, and also the wettest since in 21 years, since 1993. That was the year the Mississippi River went out of its banks and was flooding. And it was also the year that Iowa was called the Sixth Great Lake because there was so much standing water around. That was really a strange
That's a good thing
summer.
To put on the sign as you head into Iowa. We're the Sixth Great Lake.
Right. Well, we were amazed at that, but people were kidding about it, even out there. But the rivers were in flood. It was a mess.
This is the wettest opening to June ever?
No, the wettest opening to June since 1993. It's the fourth wettest ever, at least in terms of the records at Midway Airport. And the records there go back to 86 years to 1928. See, the O'Hare, the official register for the city, or record, goes back to 1871. The reason we like the Midway report, though, is A, it's in the city, and it's probably more reflective of the urban environment of the city. And B, that observation post hasn't moved, whereas our official observation site has moved a half dozen times. In fact, even more than that in some respects. The early part of the record was taken on the top of a courthouse down on Clark Street in what is now downtown Chicago, and was then, too. And then it moved up to the University of Chicago after a couple of stops downtown. And then in 1942, they opened up, they turned Midway, which had started taking observations in 1928, to the official site. And it stayed official to 1980 when they moved it to O'Hare, the official site. And although the records continue at Midway Airport. Do you follow all that, Gary?
Slow down, Tom. I'm writing it down.
I know. It's pretty complicated.
How much rain did we get yesterday? I noticed that the Eisenhower was shut down because it flooded.
You know, it's really interesting. It depended a lot on where you were. Now, Midway Airport got 154, and a lot of that came down in like 30 minutes' time. And this afternoon, out by Romeoville, they've gotten about 1.1 inches of rain just in the last hour. So there's some big thunderstorms south and west of the city. So far, this breeze off the lake is holding them out there. But, there was nearly 2 inches near River Forest. Let me see here. I've got some other ones.
The Eisenhower is a nightmare all the time.
It is.
When you shut down a section of it, I saw the backup, and I thought these poor people that couldn't get off because they were in between exits. And I don't know. There was hours of waiting for this thing to open up.
I went up to a wedding over the weekend in Rockford. One of my former interns got married. And, wow, is that a that whole stretch of the Northwest Tollway is all ripped up.
That's the Jane Addams, right?
No, that's, what is it? That's the Northwest Tollway, right?
Jerry G. Bishop? I don't know. There's all these people that have...
Jerry G. Bishop?
I don't know.
Does he have a...
I don't know who these people are.
An expressway
named after him? Expressway named after him. Anyway, I know that stretch because when I went to the air show...
You had to... In fact, I was wondering if you hadn't said anything about it.
Yeah,
but
I did mention it. You may have been off the day after
I came back. Yeah.
But I noticed the stretch... that they're redoing this entire stretch.
This has been going on for like 3 years.
It's miles, and I was looking at the pieces of equipment, and I'm thinking, is that enough equipment? Shouldn't they be working Saturdays?
Well, you know, Gary, it's funny because I went up to Madison like 3 years ago, and that was still being worked on, and they still got a whole slab of road to put down. They've taken the whole thing out, so that thing's going to go on for years, I imagine.
Wouldn't it be prudent to hire thousands of guys and just spend 2 to 3 months and get it all done, and there's going to be something else to work on? I know they want to stretch these jobs out so they have jobs, but there's got to be a lot of stuff that needs working.
I would imagine it's just the price tag on the thing, you know, keeping it going. You know, when they built the Alaska pipeline, 798 miles of pipe that they had to lay over mountains and all, that was all done in 2 years. And when they built the Alcan Expressway from Alaska down to the lower 48 through Canada, that took 2 years. And, you know, that was a monument. Those tasks were monumental compared to what we're doing here.
Well, when they do this Kennedy,
not that this isn't monumental, because that it looks to me...
They're all monumental, but to me, and again, I'm a soft pretzel. I have no calluses.
Well, you've worked in construction, too.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago. I've lost my cred on that.
I see. The calluses are gone, are they?
When I see the stretch that's being redone, and I only see a piece of equipment here, and then you go another half mile, right. There's another piece. But I don't see the amount of guys I think I should see or women out there. Thousands. I'd like to see thousands. Like when they built the pyramids, and there are guys carrying other guys.
I know.
And they're worshiping golden fleeces and all that stuff they
do. Well, especially, you know, I'm kind of scared to drive that stretch of road because you're, you know, everybody, there's no longer separation between cars. You just, you know, you're by very definition within 10 feet of the car in front of you, and the car in back of you is within 10 feet of you. And so you're afraid if anybody taps on the brake that there's going to be some kind of monumental pileup or something.
Here's what we encountered. A truck lost its tire. And
it's
got the right lane blocked. Now you have two lanes total.
So this is right now?
This was when I went out to
Rockford. Yeah.
So we had a snake through that. And you're thinking, like you said, if somebody veers, that's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of carnage. A
lot of carnage. And a couple times, you know, they switched the lanes over into what was once the shoulder. And you think to yourself, if somebody is looking down and punching the radio or, you know, whatever, glances away from the road, they could easily miss that. So it's amazing there aren't more accidents than there are in situations like that. But at any rate, the traffic moved at a pretty good pace. I was surprised.
Yeah, it did. Without that truck losing its tire, I was surprised,
that would be bad.
Too. Yeah. But I couldn't believe two things. The long stretch with not a lot of equipment. And then on the way back, I noticed we went through Huntley, and that's where Big O lives.
Right.
My wife,
Gloria.
Gloria and
I. You forgot your wife's name?
We go to Jameson's.
Right.
And he drives here almost every day, so I mentally flagged where Huntley is to Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, my own. This guy is doing a lot of driving.
A lot of driving. What does he say about the traffic?
Well, he comes in at 2 in the morning or something, but still, on the way home, he's here when he's probably in the middle of traffic. He's got a line to his house where he could just sit in his bedroom in his underwear, which he does here anyway. But
and people are talking.
Yeah,
right?
Well, he should keep that at home.
I guess, yes.
But I give him 50-some years he's been here and doing this, and he makes me look tired and stuff. I don't like that.
I know. Orion's energy level is stunning, isn't
right.
it?
Revenge is there are people here that are lazy, so I look like I'm a speed demon. So I look better than other people here, so it all balances.
Sure.
Yeah, they just kind of wander in a couple of minutes before the show and wander out. So that's where I get my just desserts.
Well, look at the research you do on this program. I mean, you know, the open and all.
You have to, Tom.
I know,
this
Gary,
thing doesn't talk itself.
No, of course not. You have to find all these, of course, as you say, there are plenty of these stories out there, but you find some awfully interesting stories like this one.
Let my people go.
I want to hear that on the Jane Addams or whatever that stretch is. Where's the Jane Addams? And wasn't she on Beverly Hillbillies?
That was Miss Hathaway.
Hathaway,
Miss Jane Hathaway.
Okay. They should name an expressway after her.
Nancy Cole.
I'll tell you what. Jane. First, I assume she's a lesbian. Was a lesbian.
Yeah.
Still. Well, she's dead, right?
She's dead.
Okay, but she was one of the first lesbians
on
television.
Yeah.
She didn't play a lesbian.
Yeah.
And then the other one would be on Green Acres, the painter.
Yeah, Ralph and Elf.
She was Ralph. That woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she should have an expressway named after her, the Jane Hathaway Expressway.
Isn't that 88?
What is that a named stretch?
Well, 88 is the Ronald Reagan Expressway,
right?
Yeah. Where's the Jane Addams?
Now, Jane Addams is down south, right? We've got Leslie Kiling, the expert.
Get over here.
Come on. Leslie can tell us, straighten us out.
12 a.m. I always get their own people. They took Bertrand. What more do they want? Jesus. Throw me a bone. All right.
Leslie will be able to tell us.
Yeah, she knows all that
stuff. By the way, I ran into people came up to me at the wedding and said, I listen to you guys all the time. So I
thank you,
Gary.
I
the Legion, that. Everywhere I go, I hear about Gary Myers.
I hear about Tom Skilling, we're even Steven.
How
now.
About that? But it was really a nice wedding. We went out to this farm afterwards and we had this incredible meal. It was really a cool setting for that. And they had a fireworks display. It was amazing.
Rockford. Third Airport's out there. Everything's good.
It is. That's a beautiful area.
Let's get this steak going.
Oh,
man, I have
It rained.
I came
out
in here today all piss and vinegar. I did. I swear to God. Eric, the video guy, wow, you're really lit up today. I go, Eric, I wake up lit up.
Lit up.
Okay, I don't know who
sounds
you
like
work
a firecracker
around.
Or something.
And some of these lazy bones that you got to motivate, that's not me.
No.
Yeah.
No, you do seem like you're full of vim and vigor.
Well, I had
today.
An encounter today. I don't know if I should talk about
it. Oh, is
yet.
That right?
Yeah.
Is it at work? Or?
Yeah.
It's a stream.
Huh? Well, I can talk about it. I just don't know if it'll just hurt my situation or help it.
I see.
Let me give it a day or so.
All right.
I'm not opposed to bringing it up.
Let it settle a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, let's see how it goes. Oh, Joe, you're on the blower.
Greetings from northeast Wisconsin, gentlemen. It's
look
74
at that.
Degrees.
See that? Now, if you were on the blower, Gary, Joe wouldn't be listening to
that's
us right,
right
now. You know, so.
All right. It's 74 degrees, partly cloudy up here. Winds out of the northeast.
Wow.
Light breeze.
Wow.
Tom, I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
It seems like the calendar, our calendar that we currently go by, no longer reflects the seasons adequately.
Yeah.
Is there any way we can roll back a month or any way to do that?
I propose taking some days out of February and January and putting them into June and July. I know it wouldn't make a difference weather-wise, but it just would psychologically make us feel better.
No,
July's got 45 days in it now.
Yeah.
It's our stuff. This is all man-made. We can do whatever we want. Why aren't we beholden to, we got to keep things? All this debt, zero set it. Start all over. We screwed up.
Do you know something? People actually write me letters, and they're mad because we in the weather profession start our seasons on the 1st of, like, June and September and December. They say, who are you people to decide to change the seasons, to move them?
Well, it makes more sense on your calendar, Tom.
It does.
June, July, August is summer.
Well, it's easier from a calculation standpoint when you have to come up with averages.
It makes more sense.
It does.
September, October, November, that's fall.
Right.
December, January, February, that's winter.
Yeah. But Joe is right. I mean, there are strange things going on. There are no two ways about it. This is a very peculiar weather pattern. And a lot of it's
being... I agree. Is El Nino hitting hard right now?
Well, El Nino, you know something? There were initial forecasts of some of these models, and people picked up on it that this was going to be a huge El Nino, and the models have really come back on that, and that's not surprising, because we've got something else going on out in the Pacific. They call it the North Pacific Decadal Oscillation in its cold phase, and history has shown that El Ninos during that event tend not to be as strong or as long-lived. So I wouldn't be surprised that this has been oversold a little bit, and it may not have the normal effects on a winter, which is to warm us up in a strong El Nino, that some El Ninos do. We'll have to wait and see how this evolves over the summer.
Is all this fog because of the lake?
Yeah, it is, Gary. There's no question about it. The lake surface as a whole is running about 2.5 degrees behind the 20-year average here. The shoreline is actually about where we were last year at this time. But
can you tell me, is the lake high or
yes,
is it low?
Is it
too
high.
Much water?
Yeah.
It is high.
It's high, and that has nothing to do with the temperature, but it does have to do with the fact all the ice cut down on the evaporation during the winter. The interesting thing about the Great Lakes is they rise in the winter, and they fall in the summer, and you would think it would just be the opposite. But the reason for that is, they fall in the winter, they rise in the summer, but the reason for that is there's a higher evaporation rate during the cold season than there is in the warm season, which is opposite what you would think.
That
so,
is counterintuitive, Tom.
It is.
I think that's
that.
Super.
Yeah.
You do, Joe. Is the lake higher than it should be? Because we were low for a while there.
We were. It's still below the long-term average by about 5 inches, but it's 14 inches higher than it was last year at this time.
I like when you do that. Joe, I like when he does this deal where if we get 2 inches of rain, how many billions of gallons of water that is?
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday, that was how many billions of gallons?
Well, it varied. It was only a small area that got the heaviest amounts of rain. But let's just say that we got a billion, 1 inch counter border to border in Cook County. That'd be in the neighborhood of, 10, 12 billion gallons of water.
That's amazing.
And when the lake goes up 1 inch, you're talking about 390 billion gallons of water that you've added to the lake all of a sudden. So that's a lot of water.
I have this.
We need more fresh water.
We do, Joe.
We do.
I have this thought about how any body of water, ocean, lake, and it stops right where it stops. But it's liquid. And if it wanted to, and you mentioned the Mississippi flooding.
Yeah.
The Mississippi was probably, when it floods, it's taking back what it originally was, right? Man has pushed some of that in. Man has taken over some of the river, right?
Well, the river kind of, we've built levees along it in certain places to try and control flooding. The Corps of Engineers gets involved in that sort of thing. And the Great Lakes, you know, some of this level drop was the fact that there was some work being done to deepen navigation channels on the east end of the lake, and this left a little more water out than normally goes out. So part of the drop was the result of that. It was done back in the 60s, and there was supposed to have been some repair work done to it. It never was done. The funds weren't available or something. And so it came down. But a good part of it is also due to the dryness of the weather that we've had in recent years. Although, you know,
nature truly is in charge.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
No question.
We don't have a prayer. If nature, Mother Nature, whatever you believe in, decides, you know what? I'm going to have some fun today. And that is it. We're dead. You can do all the planning and this and that, but we can't fight it at a certain point.
No, that's very true. I was on my days off here, I was reading over this book. I was asked to do an analysis of this book on climate change. And, boy, there's some amazing stuff there. They look at the amount of ice that has melted, and the figure is stunning. In Greenland alone, we've lost, I don't know how many trillion tons of ice have melted in Greenland. And when you look at it in those terms, you really realize how amazing what's going on is.
And what do you say to people that will respond with, well, it's cyclical, we've gone through these phases before?
No. Well, you say that the changes are happening 10 times faster than any changes that we know in recorded history. And you also say to those who say, hey, we've had climate changes before, so what's the difference? We all survive those. The changes in the past have been cataclysmic on this planet. I mean, we've lost species. You know, when the Vikings sailed over here and landed in Greenland, they put a colony there, and they called it Greenland because it was green at the time. And the climate changed, and within 100 years, in one generation, everybody they landed there died because they couldn't produce food anymore because of a climate shift. Now, that time, there was a climate shift to cooler. But, wow, you know, the changes are absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore.
Real quick here.
Yeah.
Doesn't the salt water scrub the atmosphere?
Salt water scrub the atmosphere? No. No, because you know,
I got that at a spa once. I got a saltwater scrub.
Saltwater scrub?
Yeah, and the atmosphere was good.
No, you know what happens is, see, salt and water are not chemically bonded. So when the sun evaporates water from the oceans to make clouds, the salt separates from it. It's not bonded to the water molecule. So the water evaporates as vapor, and the salt stays behind. So, no, it doesn't happen that way. Although what you find is, if you live near the ocean, salt spray blows around, and your cars will corrode and everything else if you're within a couple miles of the ocean.
How much does the sun have to do with the climate on Earth?
Well,
solar flares and the 11 years of the solar flares.
It does. And although, you know, what's interesting, and this is this book I'm reading is written by two Argonne Laboratory researchers, and it's amazing how much I learned.
Is it Dr. Douglas?
No.
No. No, Joe. This is one of the benefits of being on the stream. Joe has been on almost 9 minutes. There's no way on terrestrial
Earth.
Radio.
Right.
That you're a 40-second call, Joe.
That's true.
I think I'm adding some important.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying this is the beauty of being on the internet.
We can discuss something.
We can turn that thing off. That thing, it's not even hooked up. I'm using it as an example of what would happen on History's radio.
We were able to send that to the computer.
That's going over to the Museum of Broadcasting.
Scrap heap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, Joe.
What did those reports say again? Tom, you were saying about those reports on climate change?
What's that now? You were asking about the sun, and does it change?
Do
sure
we need
it does.
The sun?
Yeah, it does. But you know what I was going to say is, we've gotten to the point, we passed it in the 1970s, where it now appears that, the gas that's been put in the atmosphere, the carbon dioxide, is now overriding some of these natural changes that would have occurred. So whereas variations in the sun would have played a more important role in the temperature planet that we saw on the planet as a result of it.
Now, if you could prescribe a solution, would you say plant more trees, more plants?
Well, that's one thing. We got to get off fossil fuels is what we got to do. I mean, that's ultimately what's going to happen, and that we will do that. But it's the problem is it takes some time. And
I ride a bike.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you're doing your part.
I recycle.
Yeah,
I'm trying.
Well, you know, we're kind of, what can we do? We've got to get to work. We have to drive a car that burns fossil fuel. And But, you know, with time, this is going to change. And if we, you know, we stick to it and develop
what
some of these things.
What's carbon dioxide? What can we do to actively, is it mostly plants that
can do that?
The atmosphere?
You know, they're doing some work up at Botanic Garden. Now, there's certain grasses that take carbon dioxide out of the air in greater quantities than other kinds of plants. So, you know, and these are native to our area, and they're the kind of things we pulled out for years. And now the idea is let them go. But ultimately, we may have to develop a system where we pull stuff out of the air. If it gets too bad, we'll have to find a way to actually extract carbon dioxide from the air and sequester it. So.
What about cannabis? Isn't cannabis consumed more than most?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I've never seen a chemical analysis.
Joe, I'm going to go have a sandwich. Why don't you and Tom take your first spin?
Gary, jump in here anytime and
he's got you
shut
done,
us
Tom.
Up.
He's giving you a little back and forth. That's fine, right?
Yeah.
You're volleying with him.
Absolutely. No, Joe may raises some good points.
Well, I'm learning a lot.
I hope you are, Joe, because that's why I'm here, buddy. Thank you, Joe.
All right, then. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
You know, we didn't ask Joe where in northeast Wisconsin he's from. Is it up by Green Bay? I should have asked him.
12 minutes and nobody asked
I know. Ask the poor, poor guy
back.
Where he's from.
Joe, call back. Where are you from?
Yeah.
What was that song in the background?
That was Brian to Me with Science. They were going crazy.
Science. Who's the artist?
Yeah. Thomas Dolby.
Yeah. Hey, Leslie's here. Where's the Jane Addams?
That's I-90, the north.
To Rockford.
Wow.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
So from O'Hare to Rockford is
so
what
you're
we
right,
normally
Gary.
Yeah, I thought it was the Jane.
You know what? I call it I-90. I've done that
correct.
I used to drive down from Madison when I was going to
who's
college
Jane Addams?
Up there.
The woman who developed the Hull House.
Hull House, yeah.
Okay, and
she was big in immigrant rights. Took care of the needy.
All right. Great.
Is that Adams Street? It's named after her, too?
No, that's the president.
Oh, that's the president.
She's got two D's.
Two D's.
Double D's. She's got double D's.
Jane's got double D's. And we got just double lanes for the next. How long is that project going to go on?
Jane Addams?
Yeah.
Oh, forever.
Yeah, I think so.
Tom said it started 3 years ago.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
There's not enough equipment and men. I can tell you that right now.
And Leslie, the whole right side or north side of the road is gone at places and has
from
to be rebuilt.
From Elgin all the way to Rockford, you've got construction going on. Plus,
and they're building
I-39 under construction now, too, which would be another way to get around that. So you're going to get into construction no matter what you do.
Yeah, I grabbed 39 down to 88 and came in that way going home. But I was trying to avoid all that that mess on 90. But, you're right, Leslie. As I think about it, 39 did have some construction going on. Are they going to build that whole thing over again?
They've taken out. Yeah, they are redoing the whole thing by taking all of the old pavement out down to the dirt and starting over. That's why I think
widening, new interchanges, the
it'll
whole
be
thing.
Great when it's done. I notice they've got these nice-looking lampposts up in certain stretches of it, which are pretty cool.
This George Lucas Museum will get built like crap through a goose. Stuff that we really
2 weeks.
Stuff that we really need. Although they said it's going to be 4 years from now.
2018.
Yeah.
Well, they've got to build underground parking, and that.
Well, first of all, they're going to fight the Grant Park.
Someone's going to sue them. Yeah.
Do you remember the problems they had with the underground parking in Millennium Park?
No.
There were some problems with
water leaking. Yeah.
Oh. So we might have to work through some issues.
You guys have better memories than I do. I didn't remember.
We're going to get into that in a minute. Shrubs and trees, and they're growing
amazing.
An inch an hour.
You know, I put some tomato plants out on my balcony, and it's amazing. They've grown twice. They've grown by about 2 or 3 feet in the last week. They're growing like weeds, which is great.
And weeds are growing like, weeds.
Exactly.
As they do.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to hear some of Jimmy Ramsey's work?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
You know I do that thing where he's the spokesmodel for Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a sample.
Okay.
Growing up in a small town in South Carolina, I would often wonder what life was like in a big city. Were the buildings as tall as they say? Is the traffic as bad as I've heard? Do people murder each other in broad daylight? I wondered and I dreamed about living in a big city, a city like Chicago. As a kid, anytime Chicago was mentioned, someone would always chime in with, "Hey, that's where Al Capone lived, and it's all gangsters." While that sounded scary, I was drawn to the danger in some strange way. It seemed better than what I did all day, like shooting squirrels and reaching down into a hole in the kitchen floor that my grandfather had shot out to try and retrieve a nickel he had thrown into the hole. When my squirrel and rabbit killing days ran their course, I packed up and headed west to the middle of the U.S. of A. My first impression of Chicago is forever burned into my brain pan. The tallest structure in my hometown was the grain elevator, so when I first laid eyes on the John Hancock building, I thought I was in Oz. Prior to that, the tallest black thing I had seen was when the Harlem Globetrotters came through town and played at the local high school. Another great thing about Chicago is you don't have to learn a lot of different names in politics, because the same people stay in office 40 years or more. Now that's stability. Cap off a visit to Chicago by sitting down to a full slab of ribs at Carson's or Twin Anchors. And when your fingers and mouth are all slathered with gree-gree, think about how much better this is than shooting squirrels in the backyard.
How about that?
You know.
Oh, my Lord.
My word.
Oh, God. Boy.
I'll tell you, you know, this is why when I sit down with Jim, we start laughing. You know, we just go on for 2 hours.
Well, he's a good sport about it. I really like him for that.
That's amazing stuff. Did you write a lot of that? Tom, and by the way, the music selection was gorgeous.
Well, that's what they used for that Tim Allen Michigan campaign.
I see.
That's the same music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's the same music.
It's
lovely. I write all those for him, and he plays along. Have you ever had ribs at Carson's or Twin Anchors?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We've got to go over there and chow down on some.
That would be great. Oh. I'll tell you, that would certainly blow the diet out the window. You know, I was at a dessert table at this wedding, and I was there with a minister and who happened to be the father of one of my other former interns. He conducted the part of the service. So I said to him, Reverend, we're about ready to commit a sin eating at this table. There were like about 14,000 desserts.
Yeah.
And he said, I always tell my parishioners that if the church is the temple of God, but he said, I'm trying to build a cathedral. So that's the way he writes it up, which I thought was a good line.
Sure.
But
so you indulged a little bit?
Oh, Gary, I'll tell you, the food was fantastic. It really was, yeah. And what we did was we cut little pieces off these things and tried to hide the fact that we weren't taking the whole slab, you know, just and leaving half the, you know, you get about one-third of a piece of pie left or something like that.
But then we had different desserts.
Yeah.
You took a piece of each.
Exactly.
So the net result is if you had one...
Yeah.
Same, right?
Right, exactly. And it was really delicious, but that was good. But the Ramsey pieces are amazing.
All right.
He's a funny man.
Because he's so dry. When he does come up with something out of nowhere,
I know.
Where did that come from?
I love it. Well, it sounds so professional, you know, and it just, and then you hear him talking about shooting a squirrel or finding the hole in the floor that his father had shot to get a nickel. And
it was his grandfather.
Oh, his grandfather.
Yeah.
I see.
And I got this text. Ask Tom why people had pictures of funnel clouds yesterday, but the National Weather Service said there appeared to be no rotation.
Well, I'm not sure that they said that at all, you know, because it was acknowledged officially there were funnel clouds. There were no touchdowns. So I think what was probably said was there were no touchdowns that did damage, and that was correct. Unless somebody's gotten some damage that we haven't heard about.
Yeah, because we got calls that the sirens had gone off in some areas.
I'm sure they would. Well, you know, a lot of municipalities decide whether or not to throw the switch on the sirens. So that's a local, and that's probably not a bad way to go, because many of these communities have spotter networks out there that are calling in, and they have police and fire officials that are out on the road reporting back what they see. And that's good. So, you know, probably the attitude is better safe than sorry. You know, if you've got funnels, and those were pretty impressive-looking funnels around. But, you know, these storms are not all created equal. You know, some tornadoes produce winds of 50 or 60 miles an hour and take a shingle off a tree or a branch off a tree. Others do what, you know, we saw in Plainfield or Oaklawn or...
Or Barneveld.
Barneveld or... Yeah.
I always remember Barneveld.
You do. I know you do. That's
the one where you said that there was the dry cleaning... And the plastic bags on the bed, and the bed was four blocks away, but the dry cleaning had not been touched.
The thing I remember about that is somebody said a scarf had been, they had a water tower, one of these big water towers in town, and the thing apparently had been blown over enough for a towel to lodge itself underneath it. and nobody could pull it out afterwards. So apparently the whole tower had leaned.
And they're trying to pull the towel. That's my towel.
Yeah.
From underneath the water tower.
Yeah. It shows the force of these things. Yeah. That was really a scary storm. That hit at like 1, 2 in the morning. And it was a completely overcast night, so there was all the electricity went out. There was no natural illumination from the moon or anything like that. And they were trying to, find victims who they heard, groaning in the debris and all. And can you imagine doing that when it's pitch black and you don't have...
No, and they didn't have those weather radios then.
No, and you didn't have a flash, your flashlights were probably gone because your house was gone
right.
In some cases. So what a scary proposition that whole thing was.
And that'll be featured once again when you do your...
Yeah.
Fujiji, what do you call that?
Right. Our Fermilab?
Fermilab, yeah.
With sure.
Dr. Fujiji?
Yeah, Dr. Fujita. Yeah, he's not with us anymore, but...
Well, in spirit.
Yes.
He's always
he
with
is.
Us.
Do you know that the only time we had a storm on a Fermilab tornado seminar day was the day that we looked back at his incredible body of work? And some of the people there said that's Dr. Fujita looking down on us.
I know what I'm talking about.
You do. Yes, indeed.
All right, Tom, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Gary.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be
all
back.
Right.
Good to talk to
did you.
Did you
have another situation where you did something, you had something checked?
Well, you know what? Yesterday it was a dental thing. I had yesterday was supposed to have been the colonoscopy that we discussed widely last week extensively, but I... So they moved it up on me. So yesterday I could, I had the mouth check. So
it's a 50,000-mile tune-up for you.
Yeah, right.
A lot of orifice. A lot of orifice getting it all checked out.
Well, Gary, there's more than the hairline going here, at this age. So, you just check it all out
okay.
And make sure the old, chassis is running.
How
all
are
right.
The
Do you get to use Novocaine, or do you forego that?
Did you have some work or just cleaning?
Yeah, no, you know what, Leslie, if there was any drilling, there was no drilling yesterday. It was just cleaning, but no, I didn't do Novocaine with that. But if there was drilling, I would. Do you know, as a kid, they never gave us Novocaine. Did you have Novocaine?
I've heard stories about people like you. No, we've always had Novocaine.
Yeah. See, that's something. We were always told by my doctor when I was a kid, that the incision, or putting the needle in, would create more trauma than just drilling.
Oh, really?
So they would drill.
And the little pinprick from the needle is momentary. The drilling,
I know. It never made sense to me either at 4 years old, or 5 years old.
My wife never had Novocaine either when she
I
had.
Went yeah, for a stretch there where I didn't like the after effect of it wearing off, so I went... I went al fresco on it.
Oh,
and no, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
That's a drill.
It gets close to nerve.
I know.
Hey,
I'm not
I'll
doing it anymore.
I'm a wreck when I have the Novocaine. You remember that John Candy movie where he was with Steve Martin? They were going down the highway, and they're going down the wrong way, and they went between these two semis, and the sparks were flying and all, and they finally pulled over, brought the car to. And Martin's fingers had been lodged in the dashboard. That's what I'm like at a dentist's office. I have to pull my, my fingers meld into the handles on the
planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah, planes, trains, and automobiles. Yeah.
Do you ever do nitrous?
No.
Wanna?
No, Molly.
I got a tank over here.
No.
The only way I can get through the day sometimes.
No, that made me sick.
I'm glad you brought that up. If they don't balance it right, it will make you nauseous. You got to have somebody who knows the balance. Too much nitrous will make you nauseous. I've had that happen.
Yeah.
But if it's the right blend, sweet.
The right blend of nitrous oxide.
Yeah,
They definitely didn't blend it right when they gave it to me because I was a wreck for about 2 days. That was awful. I would never touch that stuff again.
Well, again, you got to.
But on the other
right
hand,
touch.
I go in with my colonoscopy with nothing, So,
yeah, see.
And that doesn't bother me, so.
Talk about a drilling.
Yeah, that seems like way too cowboy and Indian.
Honestly, Gary, believe me, I couldn't take drilling my teeth, but this thing was no big deal. So I,
How many more orifices left do you have to check?
What are you getting checked next week?
I don't know.
I think nostrils? Elton, they've done it all
ears?
Now. Yeah. Yeah.
Belly button? Unless you're going to do your belly button?
Yeah. Maybe. I think they pretty well checked most of the ones that have to be checked out. So
you got 15 orifices, and I don't know how many you've got to check.
I know. Jeez.
I want to get a list and just put a check mark against it.
Right.
Leslie, do you have to leave? Yeah, she's walking out, and she's been in here twice and keeps walking out because she's got other commitments.
I'm panicking here. No,
what,
I don't.
It's a quarter
to,
what? Oh, they
four.
Do some.
They do it, yeah.
They, no, wait, they don't do anything.
We're good. Not till after four.
Yeah,
I can.
I remember that schedule. You're not on at 3:45.
It's only been a month.
Jeez, she's running out of here. Well, I don't want to make anybody unhappy.
I thought
you're
going to
make some people unhappy. Trust me.
Oh, no,
it
I'm
happens.
A pleaser.
See, she doesn't work for the station. She's from another company, and she is employed.
I am a subcontractor.
Right, by another company.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Is that right?
So
Leslie?
I got to please a lot of people.
Why? You got a whole set of bosses.
In fact,
then.
She was working for one company that the station dropped, and she had to join another company to stay with the station.
Wow. Wow.
Is that about how it went down?
That's exactly how it went down.
Interesting.
How about that?
Yeah.
Goofy.
Well,
moment of silence for all the bad decisions that people have made. Tom, tomorrow,
Gary,
8 o'clock.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Thank you.
Okay, Gary.
This might be a dumb question, but I don't care. Has Dallas had a convention since the Kennedy assassination? And I say that because Chicago suffered after that Democratic convention of 68. We couldn't get anything because of that until
95.
What 92?
Was 92.
Was that 92 when we got it?
No, that was 90. No, he won in what
no,
year?
It was the early 90s. I know that's
Clinton's
for a fact.
Second time.
Right. But that's why we didn't get it for a long time. And I don't know, has Dallas had a convention since 63 of any sort?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, any
so
kind
it's
of,
not a bad question. Not a dumb
not.
Question. Thank
I mean,
you.
Any kind of presidential type of thing.
You get stuck with that stink for a long time, as we know. And I think it was because we broadcast from the United Center. They had revitalized that whole west side. The United Center went up all around that convention.
Dallas had it in 84.
84.
Democratic or Republican?
That was Republican.
And
oh,
this
wait,
was for,
yeah.
But that was 20 years later.
And 94?
84.
84.
So it took 20 years for them. 63.
Yeah, 20 years. And this is the Republican convention again?
Right.
How about a Democratic convention?
Mm-mm.
See?
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
they're a little leery.
Yep.
So was ours in 92 or 96? Ours was 96, I believe.
96.
96,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't at that station
in
92.
Yeah, the first Clinton one we didn't. We
right.
had Clinton here when they, and they basically cleaned up the whole west side.
It really was the jumpstart to getting the whole west side redone.
Well, because everybody had to take Madison Street to get there, so they cleaned that whole street up.
All
and
the
out.
Way west on Randolph.
Yeah.
New railings on the overpass and
yeah.
red, white,
light.
And blue
and
the light.
It was an excuse to knock down some of the housing projects.
Yeah, now there's all the restaurants. I mean, now it's amazing. I mean, 25, 30 years ago, you did not walk down Madison Street at night after a Blackhawks game or a Bulls game.
No.
No.
Didn't go anywhere west of Halsted Street.
No,
alone.
Not at
but
all.
That's true of just about every area you can think of in this city. As I've mentioned before, Skid Row started in the early 70s at Wacker on Clark Street. That was Skid Row. And now when you look at it, no way. Yeah. Over
well,
the last 40 years, there are areas that you would have to go through in a tank and not feel safe even then.
Was
people assume
too.
That the city's always been the way it was when they grew up.
Yeah.
And never for a minute remember that a lot of this was very different along
and
the way.
And the other side of the coin, there are areas that were beautiful and have gone to crap in the process too.
Wrigleyville was very dangerous.
Yeah.
A lot of gangs. You didn't. When you went to a Cubs game, you went home.
Or
you
look
didn't
at,
stick around. There were no bars.
Look at Logan Square. That went from being super, super posh, because it was on the boulevard and all that, to being really scary, gangy,
right.
back to being up and coming again.
Yeah, Humboldt Park. Now you can at least walk around there.
All right, well, good and bad keeps happening. And that's what my bumper sticker says.
Hey, Circle of Life. That's what you had in the opening
it's
today.
From Lion King.
Circle
right
of Life.
Right there.
Just keeps churning.
312-521-8600. That is the text number and the phone number you can use for either. And Tom takes a whole day off to go to the dentist? Yeah, because he's Tom freaking Skilling.
He's probably got about 90 days of vacation.
I'll bet he does, as he should. Yeah. He signed a mega deal a few years ago.
But he rarely takes any time off, so, I mean, and he works 17-hour days.
And isn't it good to have Jim Ramsey stretch his legs on a Monday and a Tuesday? Get him out of the weekend routine?
Well, hopefully Tom is starting to take a little more time off, just for his own personal...
That's right.
I mean, after 30 years of doing this every day, he deserves a little time to enjoy.
What, he was agent now?
Well, no,
I could just say... My client has been doing this for 30-some years, day in and day out.
Oh, I mean, seriously, I mean, the guy has been so dedicated and such a hard worker, and I mean, obviously he loves it, but at the same time, you know, it's nice to stop and smell the roses if you're so hungry.
Oh, good.
Because it sounds like he was reading a book. He said he was reading a book the other day.
But he wasn't that way
just
a few years ago.
No.
It was work, 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 but I think he finally came to Jesus and thought, wait a minute, what am I doing? It's work. It'll be there.
There's always weather.
And then he goes to Hawaii and almost drowns. So you got to be careful. You got to balance those trips. I got a nice letter and a shower cap in the mail.
Oh,
and
really?
I will tell you why I got the shower cap. It says, Gary, got this from the Salisbury Hotel on West 57th Street in New York. Can never have enough shower caps. After we checked in, I grabbed the remote and put it in a sandwich bag while my girlfriend watched, followed by her comment, what in the hell are you doing? Needed to save the shower cap for you, my friend. Great show. Got them loaded on the iPod. That's from Shelley Sherman. Thank you, Shelley. Appreciate it.
That's so funny. It's nice. It's a little box.
Oh, that's the hotel shower cap.
It's Salisbury.
And I'm going to get a jerry curl this summer, and this will come in handy because I need
to get
that under the cap.
Michael Jackson Jr. here with that.
You can do a whole new version of New Jack City.
Explain.
Well, all the gang members.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, it's all about gang members.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And they all had shower caps?
Yeah.
I think, as far as intimidation, anybody wearing a shower cap is going to frighten you. and outside of a shower.
Outside, yeah. Outside on the street.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you
You're
have
not going to ask them why they're wearing that,
no,
are you?
No, it just has a look. Don't mess with this guy.
If you don't have soap on a rope with it, I'm afraid of you.
You better be. And just a word to the wise, if you're going into some area where you're not sure, put a shower cap on. That's your protection. Nobody's going to mess with you. And Scott Stantis will be in around 5 o'clock to look at the captions that you provided for his cartoon today. A lot of good ones, and somebody, at least three people, will get a Gary Meyer muff, and some runners-up will get things, too. Got some Dickies. Do we still have Dickies signed by Blackhawks players, Craig? I guess we do, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Great. Some people will get those.
Oh, Dunks won the Best Defenseman of the Year award.
Dunks.
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 Duncan Keith. Speaking of Blackhawks.
DK. Dunks.
Yeah.
So Kebo.
Mr. Keith.
Keith.
Mr. Keith.
Chief Keith.
And I have selected this song, one of my songs today. Do you have the DBs?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have them ready to go? And I finally stumped Bibble's iPod. I was so happy because he's so smug about how many songs he has.
Well, I mean,
on
he goes, do you have Bob O'Reilly? Yeah, no, I don't have
Bob
O'Reilly.
No, that's not the one I stumped you on.
No, but before you were like, do you have John Cougar Mellencamp? I mean, come on, what do I have?
Yeah, okay. And he's so smart-assy about it.
Of course.
So then today comes and I go, do you have, and I'm going to play this song right now. Well, let me see. After scrolling through for about 2 minutes, I don't have that. Yes! Boom!
Looks like somebody's going to have to get an iTunes account.
There you, some Doobie Brothers on the dot. Eyes of Silver, the Doobie Brothers.
You had me stumped.
How much Doobie Brother music do you have on your iPod? Probably not much.
I've got about 28 songs. I've got a couple of their greatest hits. I've got the Minute by Minute album. And I've got some of
You mentioned another song that I like. Everybody, China Grove, all those got played to death.
Oh, Echoes.
Echoes of Love.
Yeah.
That's a good song, too, by them. I thought I'd play something a little deeper in the Doobies catalog, and you didn't have it.
Well, no, I mean,
I'm
sure that album, that was an album cut, though. You're doing deep tracks
there,
man.
That's why I was impressed with myself.
Well,
thank you.
Because I wasn't, I liked a lot of the Doobies' greatest hits, but I didn't really know a lot of their albums. I was more, they're such a radio staple all the time, where you always hear China Grove, listen to the music, you know.
And that's why I went for Eyes of
Yeah,
Silver.
No, that's great. I mean... But I just saw a picture of them. They must have had to split their profits by 10 guys. That was a big group.
Two drummers.
Yeah.
Right there, you got that extra drummer expense that happens. A text here at 312-521-8600. I'd like to hear Jim Ramsey read 50 Shades of Grey from the book 50 Shades of Grey someday. Yeah, I could do that on the internet.
Right.
Let's talk George Lucas. You've heard the museum is coming to Chicago. And is this not a monument to another rich guy on our lakefront? And that's really what all those places are when you think about it. The shed, the John G. Shed, the Field Museum after Marshall Field.
Marshall Field, right.
And the Louis B. Adler Planetarium or whatever that guy's name is. But this is really a monument to a rich guy. I'm sorry, that's what it is. He's getting a prime piece of real estate. The whole lakefront should not be with buildings. There's a charter. It's just a monument to these guys.
The Burnham Plan.
That could have Montgomery Ward. Montgomery Ward into motion.
There was a whole
They're not using all of them. Lakefront. Original one on the lakefront.
What's to stop?
Why not use that one? Why do you have to put another building?
I'd like a Microsoft museum
on your lakefront.
I'll pay for
it. He's paying for all of it, I heard.
But he does get the land for a dollar.
For a dollar.
Which is a
nice. Is that all that's worth? Because I'll tell you what. I'd like to put a house up there if I can get the land for a dollar.
Yeah. I'll build my own house if you give me that land on the right on the lake.
Is that what it's going for? I thought all that real estate was going up over the years.
Yeah, call Hochberg. I thought things were coming back. It's only worth a dollar.
Let's see. Is he going to finance the dollar or is he going to pay all of it? 20% down what?
He's got to get a harp for that.
2.0 from Stagecoach Bank. Why?
That's a dollar over 30 years.
We don't need to attract people to the lakefront there. It's pretty much its own attraction to drop that there. And what are the Bears tailgaters going to do now?
Well,
you should be up in arms.
Did you see that? That was one of the first questions at the press conference yesterday. And he said, "Oh, it will continue, but it can't continue as big as it was." Clearly, because this is
no, they'll
on
take
the
up
land.
All that land for 4 years, even if they put some parking after, it's not going to be what it is.
And if they have to build this underground park, like they're saying, that whole area is going to be excavated. There's not going to be anything.
Isn't there anywhere else that could use a jump start of something like this in the city? Why there?
And that's why I thought that we were just being used as kind of a pawn because...
Well, wait, we were. And I think what San Francisco said, this is a rich guy trying to put a monument up in our park area. They came to that realization.
Yeah, because the Presidio is a national park.
Yes.
And that's where he wanted it.
Yeah, I'd want something there, too. Yeah. It's magnificent. And they said no, because they're preserving, obviously, their park areas. Yeah. We could learn from that.
So now what happens, though? Now, does this have to go forward? Or because that Friends of the Park said they're going to sue.
They're going to probably drag it, because they have some power, I think. Although, the Art Institute started off with one building, and I think I've heard they've expanded over the years 10 times more buildings. It's all in Grant Park. The Art Institute buildings are all in Grant Park.
And then they built that one that goes across.
Right, that modern wing.
The new wing, yeah.
And then they put that bridge.
That's what I mean.
Again, this was a $9 million bridge, I believe. So people could walk from Millennium Park up a ramp into the museum, but I'm thinking there's a crosswalk right there.
And
why can't
right
you?
There.
Why can't you do that?
The door is right.
Plus,
there.
It doesn't match the bridge that was part of the Frank Gehry design. If you look at it, if you go up into the Prudential Building and look down, it looks like a Rube Goldberg mousetrap type game. The ball bearing goes down that one bridge and then goes down. It doesn't match, and it's just to have people avoid crossing at the corner. Why do you need to put a $9 million bridge up that doesn't match the other architecture?
And
of course,
it does.
This city loves that mismatched architecture. Look at Soldier Field.
Oh, well, that's not even a question.
That's
still an embarrassment.
That really is. They should move those columns somewhere else. It just doesn't look right.
I mean, I wonder now that Daley is not in office, and he drives by there. He can't say that was a good decision. He can't look at that and say, well, that was a good decision.
Come on. What the guy's got some super taste?
Well, it just seems to me that at the time, you know, he was trying to weigh, you know, he was running for mayor, and he was weighing veterans' votes, and he was thinking politically. But now, just as John Q. Citizen, he can't look at that and say, geez, I really...
And it was $675 million, and it has no top on it.
Yeah, I mean...
So it basically is a waste of money.
So short-sighted on every level.
Thank you. 312-521-8600. Matt? He's on his cabin cruiser. Matt, what up?
Hey, Gary, I just wanted to compliment you on your musical selection, Eyes of Silver. What a great D track.
Thank you.
From the album What Were Once Vices Are Now Habits.
There's your album, and apparently Bibble didn't warm to that album because he didn't have it on his iPod.
Don't have that one.
Really? Do you have Another Park, Another Sunday, Jim?
No, I just have their greatest hits.
Wasn't that a hit?
Yeah, that's a hit. Another Park, Another Sunday was a great song, and that was a hit.
Yeah, I think so. Played on Top 40 radio. Not that that's a great indicator, but when it makes it to that, they consider it a hit.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Great track. Now, I'm curious, what was the more obscure one that you hit him with that he didn't have?
That was it.
Oh, that was it.
He mentioned Echoes of Love.
I've got Echoes of Love.
I also like that song.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's from Living on the Fault Line.
Yeah, in fact, cue that one up. I'm going to do a twin spin, twin doobies. We're doobying it up today.
Now,
what was
this last one you just said?
What? Eyes of Silver.
No, the other one that you said that was a hit, and I said I never heard that one before.
Oh, Another Park, Another Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
No, I don't have that.
It didn't get played as much as China Grove and Listen to the Music.
But, I mean, what about things like, do you know Wheels of Fortune, Gary?
Who's, by whom?
The Doobies.
Wheels of Fortune, no.
Yeah, it's on Taking It to the Streets. It's a really good one.
All right. And I suggest,
Midnight Lady.
What's that?
South City Midnight Lady.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. That is good.
Yeah, I think that's either off of Stampede or I think it's off Toulouse Street.
I encourage people to text me song ideas or whatever. I'll take a look at all of them. I can't promise I'll play them all together, but I have been playing requests from some people. It has to have a certain feel. I'm not here to reinvent a music format. That's not my point. I'm just playing some songs that I like, and I hope you like them too.
Absolutely. You're batting 1,000 so far. By the way, when it comes to lesbians on television, you got to go actually further back than Jane Hathaway.
Who?
I forget the actress's name, but she played Zelda. The girl who was always trying to get Dobie Gillis on The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis.
Yeah,
and she was a lesbian in real life. Yeah, she did marry Dobie on the show, though.
Right, but you're right.
She was always chasing Dobie, and he wouldn't have anything to do with her because she was, you know, kind of mousy looking and tomboyish. But the thing is, she was in real life. She was a lesbian, and she apparently had a crush on one of the female producers or executive or assistant producers or something. And people, it got found out about, and they kind of wrote her out of the show.
I never heard that.
What about Ann B. Davis, then, when she was Schultzy on the Bob Cummings show? That was even before that.
That's one that could be in this mix. They have this series on public television, Pioneers of Television. Yeah. They should do Lesbians of Television. And this would be an assortment that they could do.
Yeah, Pioneers of Television, the lesbians.
The lesbians that could not come out. Thank you, Matt.
Girls who love girls.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay. Linda.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm great now that I found you. Oh, my God.
What happened?
You just all of a sudden, like, disappeared. Somebody goes out of town, you come back, and it's like,
that's radio. Usually when you go out of town, if you're on the air, they fire you. That's their usual M.O. This was a little different. This was a change-up.
I wasn't gone that long.
Hey, it doesn't take that much.
Well, anyway, I'm glad I found
elevator
you.
Right up.
Yeah.
And my only comment is on your page, they should have your phone number.
Oh, okay.
I've been listening to you, and you don't give your phone number that often.
I thought I did give it fairly often, but Craig, can you put the phone number on our page? 312-521-8600. Yeah, we'll get all that out there.
Call in the Gary Meyer show, and it's like, so I hit the call in. I thought, well, maybe the phone number comes up, but it doesn't.
Okay,
so.
Good idea. We will get that, and I'll have that tweeted out every day, too.
Okay, sounds good.
Good idea.
Glad I found you, and I need my Gary fix.
Thank you, Linda. I'm glad you found it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye now.
Here, they fire you.
Hey,
that's
Julie.
MO. This was a little
That's the delay I'm on, about a 90-second delay on some systems.
Okay. All right. I have to walk away. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, great. I just found you online. It took a little bit, and I am so excited. I found the podcast. I can't figure out the sound on how to lower it, but that'll be next. Just cannot believe that you're not on the radio, but this is, like, fine because we can listen to you anytime, and it just makes my day. You're hysterically funny. I just don't get it. I hope everybody can figure this out, and Gina needs to put in a little bit of an easier way to, I don't know, click through to find you or, I don't know, maybe.
Is it complicated if you go to their website to find the show? Is it?
Yes, it is.
It is?
And that's what I've been doing for about 3 days. And I'm like, okay, today is the day I will find where Gary Meyer is because he said he's going to another platform. I will find it. I can do this. And finally today, I'm like, I have my iPad up. I've got my phone up. I've got my computer up. I'm like, okay, on one of these devices, we're going to figure this out. And so finally through Google, no.
What?
Google Plus. Yeah, that's how I found it. And I typed in Gary Meyer, and then the whole thing came up. I was like, oh, my God, it's the Streamliner, the Jetliner, whatever.
The whatever liner, the panty liner. What is this thing?
That we get on, and we go. And oh, I was so happy. I just was like, I called, and the guy's like, turn that down, lady. And I'm like, I can't.
Is that how he talked to you? Craig. Turn that down, lady.
Well,
he's coming
so
down
excited.
With something. He said today when I walked in, I think I'm coming down with something. So he's taking it out on us.
You guys are hysterical. I am so, so happy that you're back.
Thank you, Julie.
That I found you guys. So anyway, I am going to, I just tweeted it. I put it on my Facebook, and I'm going to tell friends and everybody so that they can just go to Google Plus, do this, and this. And then there you are.
Thank you. And,
is
AM dead to you?
No.
Is AM dead to you?
Do you want it to be?
I think we have to. You got to come over to the winning team now.
But this is
a battle.
It's old media.
It's old media, and this is the new thing. And
it's
you want to be part of the new thing.
It's
you want to be
well,
part of this.
I don't want to be part of anything that's old or anything.
There
like
you go,
that.
Julie. See how quickly
right.
I turn?
I am so excited. So, yay. All right.
All right, Julie.
We got you back. Yay.
Thank you.
You have an awesome day, and just keep doing what you're doing because there's nobody like you in the Chicago area. Nobody.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Julie.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
And the show, now that she brought all that up, is repeated right at 7 o'clock on .fm, and then, as she mentioned, the podcasts are there, too. Tony.
Hey, how are you, Gary?
Good.
Hey, on another park, another Sunday, it's another reason we could all put the terrestrial radio to bed. The reason they stopped playing that was the lyric, and the radio just seems to bring me down.
I forgot about that. Is that why they took it off the radio?
Yes, it is. And the funny part is the B side of Another Park, Another Sunday was Blackwater.
Blackwater.
And that was the hit.
Yes.
Well, they didn't know that was going to be a hit. Some DJ started playing it, and it took off.
It. Oh, so that was at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they flipped the record over because they didn't like the verse. Another, you know, the radio seems to bring me down, and it's all, you know. It's a song about a guy losing a girl in the radio with love songs, yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, that was the reason.
Well, I'm going to have to play Another Park Another Sunday now. It's going to be
a great tune.
We've done Dolby. We've done Doobies. Dolby Gillis, Doobies, and who knows where it goes.
And I played Thomas Dolby.
And Dolby. We've done Dolby, Doobies, Dolby.
You keep it up. We can just have a Doobie Day.
I think we're heading towards that. I want to play that now because I want to hear that lyric.
Yeah, it's there.
All right.
There.
It's going to be a triple spin. Thank you, Tony.
Hey, take care.
312-521-8600. Which do you have lined up now?
Which one do you want? I can,
let's do another. Let's do Another Park, Another Sunday because it's
wait
fresh.
Wait about 4 seconds.
And
here.
Then I want to hear Echoes of Love, too.
Yeah, I've got that one.
Because those are tracks that were not played death, and they're good songs.
Okay, you ready?
Ready. More Doobs. Text here at 312-521-8600. It says, These tunes make me want to drive around and around and look for the WLS prize van. That's true.
The Doobies, I mean, my gosh. They were all over the radio in the
70s. Yeah, well, they had a lot of great songs. In fact, some people have sent me other Doobie songs that weren't massively overplayed, but really good songs from the Captain and Me album. You have that album?
I don't have. I mean, I could find what you need. As I said, I pretty much only have
Ukiah.
Ukiah.
Yeah, you remember that one?
Maybe if I heard it. These are deep tracks.
You got to go deep.
Yeah. See, my Doobies is mostly
go deep or go home. That's what I say.
How do you think you spell Ukiah?
It's right here. It's Ukiah. That's a good song. I remember it now. Hadn't remembered it until South City Midnight Lady is another one.
Yeah, I
know
that
one, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one.
All right, some good Doobs coming around on a Wednesday.
Yeah, Captain and Me, Ukiah, yeah. You don't want to do too much Doobie.
I don't want to bogart
too
many Doobies. You don't want
to bogart your Doobies.
Nah, the kids love that drug humor. That's why I do it.
Which is why they got the name of the group. I mean, that's
really... Yeah, they were bikers, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
A lot of those guys were bikers
and they did Doobies.
Druggies, and that's where they got the name. Am I wrong about the George Lucas Museum? If you want to counterpunch me on that, 312-521-8600, that's the phone number, too.
The other side of the coin is, though, that it is going to... I mean, if built, and I'm sure... I mean, he doesn't do anything shabby.
Well, I wouldn't either if I had $4 billion in the bank.
He's actually got $5 billion, they said.
$5
billion. Yeah. It will be sort of a destination for every geek now in the world. I mean, it really will be.
But if, like I said, if he gets to do this, what stops other billionaires from going, I'd like to put up my museum, and what's going to be the city's resistance to having to kowtow to all these people?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, you have this landmark commission, right? Okay, so now they had said about Wrigley Field, for instance, can't touch it.
Oh, wait, before you say another word, Ricketts has got to be ready to take hostages.
He's
got to
be dying.
At this point. Barricade and hostages.
This all took place within a month and a half, 2 months.
How many things have gone down, and he's sitting there.
For 5 years.
He can't get anything. You got the Trump letters up. You got this museum going up, and he can't get stuff that has been a proven tourist attraction for 100 years.
And he wants to spend $500 million of his own money.
And it's not going to disrupt anything. It's in a neighborhood that's already a neighborhood that won't experience much change except for the rooftop owners.
Oh, he's got, yeah.
Talk about being treated like a dog in this process.
Yeah. If I was him, but see, Lucas, I don't know if Lucas truly, I mean, even in Lucas's statement, he said, while Chicago is the best place, he said, personally for me, this is very difficult because of my roots on the West Coast.
But San Francisco realized he wanted a piece of prime park area.
Yeah.
And that's why they wouldn't do it. This is the same thing.
Well, this actually, if you think about it, this does cut into our second city chip on the shoulder. Because San Francisco had the guts to say, you know what? I don't care if you're George Lucas. You're not going to ruin our thing. We are so kind of paranoid.
No, please.
It's like, oh, please, come to us.
Yeah, please
come by
bring
us.
Your museum here.
Now look what we have. We have George Lucas.
We'll give you whatever you want.
Yeah, we have this. We have that.
Here's a piece of land for a dollar.
For a dollar.
That. Come on. I knew they were going to give him something that was unbelievable, and that's unbelievable.
Have you seen any numbers as to what this is going to cost?
No.
To build? I haven't seen that.
I don't think that matters because they're going to throw out the tourism number of how many dollars it's going to bring in.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying in terms of what's going to come out of Lucas's pocket to build it. I'm just wondering.
Well, his pocket is very, very deep.
Very deep.
And I think his wife pulls down some good coin, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. She's a part of some major investment firm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
I mean, he's got movies coming out. I know he sold the company, but I'm sure he gets a piece of all the movies that still come out in the future. He's not going to be hurting, no matter if it's a $1 billion museum.
First of all,
it's like the guy who's buying the Clippers,
right?
Steve Ballmer. You've got $20 billion, $2 billion out of your pocket. It's like if you took $20 and said, I want to buy something.
And someone said, can I borrow $2?
It doesn't have
any. $20.
And what are you going to spend the $20 billion on? You can only buy so much. That's why they buy teams and museums and stuff. They have nothing else to spend it on.
And this basically now is going to be a testament to him. This is his legacy.
I said it's a monument to a rich guy. When it all comes down to, I know there's some very nice art and everything. We'll put that in the Art Institute and then put your museum in a section of McCormick Place or whatever.
Now we'll get to see those big walking things that look like elephants.
you know what? Those are 4 inches high. They're models. Those aren't that big.
Well, what about that? What's that thing Leslie knows the name? What's the thing that
the tauntaun?
The tauntaun that they stuck them in. Remember right. We were talking about those tauntauns?
What are they?
That's the critter
like
that they used on the ice planet when Luke was freezing to death.
And they stuck him in it.
And they put him in there to
what's his name?
Them.
Oh, it's like a furry.
Stantus.
It's a furry animal. That's probably a costume with a zipper on the back.
Well, don't you worry that it is going to be a lot of zippers.
When you see how the magic trick is done, it's often disappointing. And I hope it's not just a bunch of little models and, like I said, a suit with a zipper, and that's it.
Oh, I was shattered when I saw Garfield Goose in person. And I
really?
Was literally,
you really thought that was more elaborate?
He was literally a towel.
Yeah, with two buttons for eyes.
He literally was
but
a towel.
I have to ask you, what did you think it was, even when you saw it on television?
Well, I thought maybe it was at least some kind of a fabric. But not a towel.
All right.
I mean, I thought it said Holiday Inn on the back.
Because it was a terry cloth towel as opposed to some chenille or something.
I understand.
I don't know what the difference would have been.
And you could literally see the brush strokes on his beak of the yellow paint.
Yeah, but that's something that I wouldn't be shocked to see in person as being as cheap as it looked on television. That doesn't bother me. But when you see these elaborate movies, and like you mentioned, whatever that thing was called, that elephant type.
Yeah, what was...
Well, the tauntaun was...
That's not a tauntaun.
No,
quite,
the elephant was that other thing, the thing that was that walked real big.
I'll bet you that's all of 14 inches high.
Yeah.
And they just made it look like it was a big thing.
Because a lot
it
of those things
like
were
Stonehenge
all...
Yeah. In
Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
And when they do after the museum is built and they do the campaign with the 7-inch Lincoln, 7-inch Lincoln will be taller than some of these figures. Whoa. He's looking over it.
Because, I mean, don't forget, Yoda was a puppet initially. He was, I mean...
Hand puppet.
Initially he was.
Yes, he was. I mean, Frank Oz manipulated him from the Muppet guy. So, I mean, he literally was a puppet. So he's got to be only as big as a hand.
Okay, well, you got it. You asked for it. You got it.
And figure in 20 years, they're going to look back at Star Wars and go, that was cute in its time, but...
It might look a little cheesy.
Yeah.
That's why he's got to put that artwork in there. He's got some Norman Rockwells and things, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got some artwork that he's going to put in there, too. Yeah. All right, I know this stuff might look a little dated, but look at this Norman Rockwell.
Well, he's a part of our fabric now. George Lucas.
Is it the fabric that you approve of? Because when you saw Garfield Goose, you didn't approve of that fabric. Now I'm concerned that Chewbacca might not be the right hair, the yak hair or whatever they use for him.
Well, now we'll get to see Carrie Fisher a lot more in Chicago.
I was just thinking, guess who's going to come visit?
Hi, Dal. Yeah, I was Princess Leia.
I had to lose 40 pounds. Yeah. You wouldn't let me in the new movie.
Where can I buy an e-cigarette in town here?
I never liked Mark Hamill.
What if the next movie is a bust, too?
Well, there was one I saw. I couldn't believe how funky and bad it was. I can't remember which one.
The last series kind of got uncomfortable.
I couldn't believe it.
And you start realizing that Mr. Lucas was great with the special effects, with the dialogue, not so much.
And the casting. I mean, the new first movie had this little kid who played Anakin Skywalker. The kid couldn't act. And then the guy that he picked to be Darth Vader, who played young Anakin through it, he was horrible, and he hasn't even shown up again.
Who told me that Tom Cruise wants to be in a movie?
Yeah, I just read that the other day, that he's been talking to J.J. Abrams about maybe making a cameo in one of the upcoming movies, and people are already like, no.
Lando Calrissian.
We don't want Tom Cruise. Because that was the thing. When Lando showed up, everybody was like, that's Billy Dee Williams.
You never believed he was a space guy at all.
Yeah, you never believed that he was a character.
Hey.
Oops.
Because first of all, he was the first black guy in space in those movies.
Okay, it's got to break the barrier.
Yeah.
Glad he did.
Well, you're going to see George Lucas a lot more in town now.
They need lesbians and things. It's the 21st century.
He's going to be spooling pasta at RL much more frequently than he was before.
Lucas?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's here all the time anyway.
Is he here a lot?
Yeah, he's a lot. Here a lot.
He lives here.
I know, but I mean, he splits time, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I'm
but I think
sure
his wife's
travel.
Here a lot. Yeah. And he stays
Have
there.
Have you seen him around town at all?
No, but I hear tell that he's
I've
at a lot of these restaurants.
Around, yeah.
And George Lucas' art collection is subpar. Art Institute would never put it on their walls.
Uh-oh.
What is it? C-3PO playing pool with big eyes?
It's Nighthawks, and they're all sitting around the bar, and there's Yoda and R2-D2.
Are you talking about the giant striding machines that look mechanical?
Like elephants.
Yeah, like elephants. Remember, like
AT-AT? Is that
those are AT-AT.
The beginning of Empire.
Yeah, and they're all about 13 inches tall, I bet. Tony?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Hi. You were talking about the George Lucas Star Wars Museum coming to Chicago. I've had a chance to visit in the past. They have a science fiction museum in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a letdown when you go there because it's movie props, and that's all it is.
This is going to be Planet Hollywood with better food.
Oh, okay.
Well, who has the science museum in Seattle?
It's the Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame, and it's right there by the Space Needle, and all the things are kind of in the same area.
And who sponsors it? Who put it up?
I don't know. It's been there a long time. I'm not really sure.
What's in it?
Movie props. Like there's
like
a
from
little,
what?
Like Star Trek, there might be a little phaser or something, and when you look at it, it looks like it's a toy.
Yeah. As we said, when you see how the magic trick is done, often disappointing.
Yeah, it is. Very much so. I mean, I guess I don't know what I was expecting when I went there, but you look at it, and it's like it doesn't look like anything. It just looks like a bunch of toys. And then I guess when they show them on the screen, they look pretty amazing. But when you see them, you know, like there might be a Starship Enterprise, and it's small.
Again, this is a guy who wants a monument, like a lot of these billionaires do, wants a monument to himself in a very visible place, and he got it.
Right.
I guess if you're a billionaire and you can do that, you do it. But I think the city has to assess what they're giving this guy for this whole thing. And they are going to do this. Oh, it's going to bring tourism in. And as we just mentioned, this might be all silly in 5 or 10 years, the whole Star Wars thing, the way things are moving.
That's true, because when you watch the special effects now in a movie as compared to Star Wars, they're so much better now.
Right.
Much more convincing.
I don't know how all this works. I'm sticking with the monument to a billionaire. That's what this is. They could have put this anywhere else, somewhere else in the city that needed a jump start in the neighborhood or whatever. You give it in prime real estate. And it's on the lakefront, which should have been protected along the way, but they keep putting buildings up and ignoring all of that stuff that the Burnham plan was. It's silly.
But you know, a lot of communities do that. I mean, they'll give I live in Florida, by the way, in Tampa.
Okay.
And they will, you know, like, okay, if you build a football stadium here, we'll build it for you, and we'll give it to you for free.
Yeah. And these companies, these teams, these whatever, they rule all these cities. They get whatever they want, but the taxpayer ends up with the bill.
Right, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, the baseball stadium where the Rays play. It's very nice. They want a new one. Well,
okay.
Too bad.
Right, then go buy one. As my father always said, if you can't afford it, you don't get it.
Right.
But we are having all of this stuff come together in Chicago where you look around and think, wait a minute, why are we in debt? Why are our taxes so high? And we keep getting this stuff in here, but it doesn't seem to help. And I have the feeling this is not going to help either. I just have a weird feeling in 4 years when it's finally open, Star Wars will be like looking at the Wright brothers plane and going, oh, okay, yeah, it's great, but we're supersonic now. It's
right.
Nice to see where it all started, but it doesn't get me off that much.
Well, I think it's kind of cities want to have bragging rights. Do you remember a few years ago when the Boeing headquarters moved to Chicago?
Yes.
Well, it's a bunch of guys in an office building. That's all it is.
It is. There's no Boeing plane being made here.
No.
That's just that you're right. And your good point, Tony, they gave them a bunch of stuff to come here just to have the
right.
Boeing logo on our skyline.
I agree. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. You know, just so what? I mean, now if you had an airplane manufacturing plant, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Right. They brought all those people from Seattle here. There were no really new jobs created because of that, but they probably got some kind of tax incentive so we could all jerk around and say we got Boeing.
Right.
How come you know that, Tony? I know that. And then these jerks in charge don't know it, and that's why nothing is getting done right.
Well, I mean, it's not unique to Chicago, believe me.
Well, then it's wrong wherever it's happening. Unless it really helps the economy and takes the burden off the taxpayers' backs, it shouldn't happen. If it just adds to the burden, which a lot of this does, unfortunately, it shouldn't be here.
No, I agree. If you want to build a museum, well, he's got a lot of money, build a museum.
Yeah, you're right about all these teams. They go to the town, hey, if you want us to stay, it's almost like extortion. If you want us to stay, you better build us a new stadium. Otherwise, we're going to leave.
That's what the White Sox did.
Yeah, well, and they got the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Soldier Field, it's a stadium with a couple of old pillars around it.
Yeah, exactly.
From the original Soldier Field. That's what it looks like.
And they plop that new architecture in the middle. It just doesn't fit. It looks stupid.
No, it doesn't look good. But, I don't know.
What are you saying, Tony, that I should shut my pie hole, that it just lie down and take it?
No, just, I don't know. Vote for different people, I guess. I don't know.
That's the funny thing. It seems like even when we get different people in, it's the same old, same old. Have you ever lived in Chicago?
Yeah, I was actually born and raised there.
Okay.
I moved to Florida about 25 years ago.
And why did you move to Florida?
I got a good job and it doesn't snow.
What doesn't smell?
Snow.
Doesn't snow.
Oh, I thought you said it doesn't smell. I'm sorry.
No. Well, that's true because I used to work in a steel mill, so it did smell. But
now, the money you're making down there, is it as good or better than what you were making? And because you pay no state income tax, that's a nice deal, right?
Yeah, that is a pretty nice deal. It's the cost of living obviously depends on where you live, but it's a little bit lower here than it might be in the Chicago area.
Yeah, because they pay you in sunshine.
Yeah, well, but the job's not bad either.
Yeah, but overall, the salaries, the money is lower because they pay you in sunshine. That's what I always heard. Yeah.
I would say that's not true.
No?
No. I'm probably making comparable to what I would be. I mean, I'm a school teacher, so it depends on the school district. I'm probably making comparable to what I would be there.
What are the real estate taxes like?
My property taxes are under $1,000 a year.
For a condo, a home?
A home. How like big? A three-bedroom, two baths.
$1,000?
Oh, my God.
Under $1,000.
Oh. Under $1,000?
Oh. Yeah.
Jeez. See, we're getting screwed.
Oh,
I mean, really.
And it's sunny.
And it's sunny. And it doesn't smell.
And it doesn't smell.
No, it doesn't snow.
Or smell.
Smells like orange blossom.
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
Reminds me of that story. Judge Reinhold is driving with Dom DeLuise through Florida. They're going to a movie set or something. And the orange groves, obviously, everywhere. The windows are down, and that orange blossom smell, orange smell is coming through the car. And Dom DeLuise turns to Judge and goes, "Did you fart?"
Oh.
And I don't know what all that means, but that's what Judge Reinhold told me.
Well,
yeah. So there, you got a little Florida joke. All right.
Okay.
All right, Tony. Well, we're trying to fight the good fight, but seems like we're losing up here.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question. Alderman Burke, was he elected when he was like 12 years old? Because it seems like he's been there forever.
Been a good point.
45 years.
45 years.
40, is it really?
He's 70 years old, so he was 25 when he first got 25 as an alderman in Chicago. Yeah, but his father, I guess, was the alderman before him, and I don't know if he just handed him the keys or how that works. Chicago again.
Right.
Pretty much it's inherited. It's part of your inheritance here, the job.
Yeah.
That's too long to be in charge of some governmental seat. That's wrong. I think that's totally wrong. And by the way, after he has the surgery, would you stop with the calling the hospital to see how he is? He wants his privacy respected.
That wasn't me calling.
Yeah. We want our privacy. Okay. Yeah, because I was going to call to find out how you're doing. These guys know where all the bodies are buried. They make the city.
They buried them.
Well, that's true. They know how to work this thing like a piggy bank. It's just wrong.
Well, that's true, but believe me, it's not unique. It's not like
I know, and it's
corner on corruption.
Okay, but it's wrong wherever it happens.
Yes.
And we see the results now. The country is just not percolating like it should.
True.
All right. All right, Tony. I hope I made you feel better about living where you live.
I do. I
mean, good.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And it doesn't smell.
It doesn't smell there.
Kevin.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, I was going to tell you I went to like the National Air and Space Museum like in Washington.
I hear that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And they had an exhibit like featuring the Star Wars stuff there. It was probably 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like the Darth Vader outfit there, and they had the C-3PO and like the Millennium Falcon has like the lights on the back of it are just like little halogen lamps like you get at the hardware store.
See, and, you don't want to see this stuff up close.
It was pretty cool. Like C-3PO is like his belly where it's all exposed and wires, like in the movie.
Uh-huh.
It's just like it's like somebody took a paintbrush and like brushed wires on there and stuff. It's still cool.
It's still cool, even though it looks real funky.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty cool exhibit. And then as the movies went on, like the stuff from the later movies, they had more money and the costumes are a lot better, you know.
Yeah.
They look pretty cool. But the other stuff is pretty cool to see, I thought.
That museum in general, though, they've got some incredible stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's free.
And well, it's free. Well, free in that it's our tax dollar, but
right.
At least you're getting something.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
If we could get something like that. Am I wrong in suggesting the original McCormick place should be the house of the museum?
I don't know.
Because they're not.
It can't be that big, though. I mean, there wasn't. It's only probably. I don't know how big it's going to be. 10,000 square feet, maybe.
Yeah, I don't.
It can't be huge.
Well, I think it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be bigger than that.
Well, maybe it'll be awesome.
Maybe Lucas went into the original McCormick place, saw the ugly-ass carpeting and said, there's no way I'm putting a tartar or a tan-tan or tampon. What is the name of that character?
Tan-tan.
What is it?
Tan-tan. Right?
Tan-tan?
Right.
At-at, tan-tan,
right,
jar-jar.
Right.
Guy's a stutterer, as it turns out. Well, here we have it. Here we go. You live in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm in the suburbs.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, well, you know the story. I don't have to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're living it like everybody else. How about that guy? I pay under $1,000 for property taxes.
I know.
$1,000. That's the first month in most places here.
Yeah, that is.
If you're lucky.
Yep.
All right, Kevin.
So, all right, take it
appreciate
easy.
Appreciate it. Thank you. 312-521-8600.
$1,000?
Under $1,000.
Wow.
Under $1,000.
For three bedrooms, two beds.
Yeah. When you talk to people in other states about their taxes, again, something's wrong here, and we got to start asking some questions.
We don't, though.
Well, I am. I'll be the lone wolf, then. I'll ask.
But, I mean, everybody's just a lemming. They keep voting for the same names.
Well, the whole process seems ginned up. Even if you voted for somebody else, it's unlikely, unless they want them in, that they're going to get in.
Yeah.
That's why they're in office for 45 years. So nobody of any caliber has run against Burke that was any good. Is that what they're telling me?
He's the only person who
the only person in 45 years that knew how to run things better.
Well, even Barbara Bush, who does not want Jeb Bush to run for president, this is the guy's mother, and she even said, you mean to tell me there's only two families in this whole country that could
ouch.
Run this place?
Bush.
Yeah, she said there's Clinton, so because the possibility of a Clinton and
right.
a Bush again. She goes, you mean to tell me there's only two families in this whole
that's
country?
True. That's true.
And that's true. And this is the mother.
Are there no characters out there that want to get involved? Is that what it's all about? Or do these people know, like I said, where all the bodies are buried and they can maneuver through it easily?
Well, sadly, I think that the good people don't want to get involved because of the scrutiny if you know that you are going to go through. And if you are a successful business person, your whole life, everything you, and nowadays, everything
out.
You've done when you
right.
were 12.
Will
you may have
out.
Done something when you were 14.
And the people like a Hillary or a Jeb, they figure they've already been
right.
through
their,
the autopsy.
All their dirty laundry is out there.
Doesn't matter.
Now they just debate different nuances of it, but we've all heard
yeah.
the stories. So
they're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what if a guy, there may have been a guy or a woman who's a CEO, you'd say, now here's a bright person, why can't he run it? Maybe, not saying this is right, but maybe 40 years ago or 30 years ago, he had an affair.
That'll come out.
Even though if his
part of it.
His marriage is fine now, and that was an indiscretion.
No, that'll come out.
Exactly.
They'll use it as a battering ram.
And then his whole family now is, you know, turned upside down.
Well, what was that guy's name? Was it Jack Ryan? Remember his wife?
Patrick Ryan, I believe.
No, I think it was
Jack. Was it Jack?
Remember he had a visit to some kind of sex club with his wife?
Yeah, he was married to Jerry Ryan from the Star Trek show.
And that was the end of that.
Yeah.
Even though, when you really thought about it, what is wrong with that? He was with his wife, and right?
Oh, definitely.
She was cool with it, right?
She did it. Definitely.
Yeah.
They went.
And that got out, and they acted like he had tortured kids.
And he was so far ahead. Because that, don't forget, that's the lineage of how Obama becomes president.
Right. Because they brought that Alan Keyes in, right?
Yeah. And he had to run. He wound up getting that Senate seat. But he was so far ahead of whoever was running on the Democratic side, it wasn't even funny, that Ryan guy. It was a foregone conclusion.
You really thought about it. What did he do that was so wrong? It wasn't that wrong.
It was just
this
sex scandal, which we're all, you know, puritanical about.
There were women in go-go boots with nothing else on.
Yeah, and it was like supposedly a threesome that might, who knows what, or watching and stuff. Well, then, if you remember, then after he got out, so then, like, you know, they had this Alan Keyes, but then on the Democratic side, there was a guy, Blair Hull. So then he was going to win it. And then his wife came out and said, his ex-wife came out and said, well, he hit me.
Yeah.
And then he cat out,
right.
And then Obama was like fourth in line for this. And he wound up winning.
That's how it works.
2.5 years later, he's in the White House.
Big bang, boom. I got a text here at 312-521-8600. I don't know quite what this means. Stupid or not, my girlfriend cries every time she sees Soldier Field. I don't know,
because
of the
so
bad
ugly.
Architecture?
It's so ugly.
Or is she so moved by the beautiful architecture
by the colonnades
and the old architecture.
The colonnades. We love the colonnades.
I don't know how anybody thought that was right. Why couldn't they take the columns down, put them somewhere else? They could have put those somewhere else.
Easily.
Why do they have to plop that in the middle of them?
Build a monument in Millennium Park with the colonnades there.
They can move those out of there.
Oh.
This building across the street from where we're sitting in the Tribune Tower, they knocked down this old building. They took the entire facade off and rebuilt this Nordstrom's shopping area. And they put all of that stone back up because it was landmarked and did a great job. You can't tell it was ever torn down and replaced. They can do it.
Hey, there's a Target in the old Carson Perry Scott, which is the Louis Sullivan thing.
That's right. He's a famed architect.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the most.
And there's a Target in there.
And there's a Target in there. So you can
I bought my pimp phone, as they call it.
Oh, is that where you
go? They call
your burner.
Phone? My burner.
Your burner phone.
Yeah, that's where I bought it.
There you go.
And I thought, you're right. This is
a Target.
A Target where it used to be this great piece of architecture.
Yeah.
Where hosiery and specialty areas were
the men's the millinery
millinery
for your hats.
Yeah.
And now you just go there and buy razor blades
and burners
and paper towels
and gift wrap paper
and they have a good deal on socks too. Target.
Yeah, you can't beat the deal I found.
Well, that's
let's go.
You got a guy. You got a sock guy.
I got a store. It's just
anybody on the street is always going to give you a better deal. At lower overhead.
Was reading up on Sheila Kuhl, Zelda on Dobie Gillis. Learned she graduated with law degree from Harvard. She was done with acting after Dobie Gillis.
I think she actually ran for...
But was on two Gillis reunion shows.
Yeah, they
as
want,
Dobie's wife.
Yeah, she married
Dobie. And they took over the Gillis grocery store. She was in the California Senate for 12 years.
She ran for office, yeah. And remember Miss Jane was running for office.
She ran for office.
And she lost because Buddy Ebsen did a commercial for her opponent.
Obviously, they didn't get along on the hillbillies.
Doggy.
I think he was like a screaming right winger,
wasn't
he? Yeah,
he was, yeah. Well, he was mad because Mr. Drysdale never really gave him all his money.
Jerry Ryan did not like the sex thing, caused divorce. Leslie, do you remember the particulars of all that?
But she did go.
No.
You don't remember that whole thing? Was it Jack Ryan? Craig, can you look that up on your supercomputer?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Remember that whole deal where he went to a sex club?
Right, with Jerry Ryan.
With Jerry Ryan. But she went.
Right. They were married.
They were married. She did go. She may not have liked it, but she went.
They unsealed divorce records, and there was kind of a question about how did those things become public knowledge conveniently right in the middle of this Senate race.
Did that lead to the divorce? Is that what it said in those records?
She claimed that it made her uncomfortable,
yeah.
but it always came across as her being a willing participant.
Yeah.
It was more the fact that he was projecting that straight-laced good guy thing,
and it was kinky, yeah,
right. And it really was. It was baked and kind of backstabby.
But she did go. It's not like he forced her to go.
Think
she
about
go.
The situation that Alan Keyes guy, he was a complete weirdo, right?
Oh, yeah. He was a carpetbagger. They brought him from the United States. He didn't even live here.
And that's better than going to a sex club?
Well, that's why they got beat in the election. It wasn't even an election.
Okay. Had
they
just
should have
struggled
just said,
on
so
with
be
him.
It.
Exactly.
This is
exactly.
It. What goes on between a man and a woman and...
And the sex club is none of our business.
7 of 9. Good old 7 of 9.
Here's your... Text from the last 2 hours. I know Chicago stinks, but past 2 hours are making me want to use a rusty, dull butter knife on my wrists. Please, move on. The reason why we're in this mess is because people moved on before they got to the heart of the matter.
We keep kicking
Nobody
the can.
Says anything, and it just keeps on going.
We keep kicking
I'm
the
sorry.
Can.
Somebody's got to say something. I don't know if it's going to, I doubt if it's going to make a difference, but I got to say something.
And this whole idea of putting your head in the ground, that doesn't solve problems.
The reason we got screwed on that parking meter deal is because it slipped through the city council within a couple days, and now it's a 99-year deal. We gave up a major asset.
And not only did it slip through the council, it slipped through even any kind of public scrutiny that the media could have heard about
and
debated it. Nobody knew about it.
They threw it back at people saying, you're the ones who wanted to downsize the government workers and privatize stuff. So here we go and privatize something and you're complaining. Well, that's not quite what people had in mind when they said we don't need thousands of meter maids and all that other stuff going on.
I don't know why we just couldn't have recalibrated the meters ourselves.
Right.
And if you want to get more revenue, just recalibrate them. And you can't buy those boxes that they have?
Those are special boxes.
They're special boxes?
Very special.
Only that parking company has them?
Laz.
Laz Parking. Oh, please. She didn't want to swing. I think it was a BDSM club, says here on this text.
But she did go.
Swing, baby. Swing for me.
Well, but it's not... they're... Really was nothing that indicated
again,
she was...
She wasn't drugged or anything. She went there.
Besides,
she may not have liked it, but she did go.
We've had dinners like that in our marriage. I told you we shouldn't have gone there.
Yeah. Is that worth a divorce and everything? You just talk it over.
Exactly. I mean, we won't go back.
But you think about the lineage of that. So let's say that doesn't break. Obama is
you
not
can
present.
Line that...
Hillary Clinton is probably, I mean, who knows what happened.
Line a lot of things up like that. If Kennedy isn't killed, Vietnam is a totally different theater,
and on. Nixon never becomes president. There's no Watergate.
Yeah, one thing chain reacts a lot of other stuff behind it that would have never happened had that one thing not happened. And when you buy this instant ticket from the Illinois Lottery, win or lose, you'll be contributing to the fight against HIV/AIDS. 100% of net proceeds from Red Ribbon Cash fund HIV/AIDS research and education in Illinois. So far, this ticket has raised over $5 million. The lottery expects to add another $1 million to this fund this year. In addition to Red Ribbon Cash, the lottery offers three other special instant tickets that support breast cancer research, multiple sclerosis, and our military veterans. Remember, when you play the Illinois Lottery, 30 cents of every dollar you spend will benefit our state. Over the years, the lottery has contributed over $18 billion to the State Common School Fund to assist K-12 public schools, as well as the Capital Projects Fund to build roads and bridges. Play responsibly. Don't scratch and drive. You must be 18 or older to play. Scotty Stantis and his cartoon coming up. But first, the triple play. This is the third in a series of the Doobies on the dot. It's 5 o'clock. The Doobies and Echoes of Love on WGN.FM. Gary Meyer on the 50 million watt streamer.
It's a threefer today.
It's a threefer, man.
From the Doobies.
That's what I do. And
man.
Little Scotty Stantis is here. Do you remember this Jack Ryan deal? You weren't in Chicago probably when
it happened.
She's
the one who wanted to have sex with his wife in public in Paris.
Right.
Yeah, well, you do remember it then.
So, yes. Yes, I do. At a club. Well, you know. Yeah, you remember to 7 of 9.
Right.
Yeah. And I got this text at 312-521-8600. I got to find it again. It scrolled right. Okay. Read up. She was forced to go to filthy beds.
Okay, forced or whatever.
Where would I read up on that?
Read.
Where would the filthy bed stuff be mentioned?
The French are a clean people. I think that's rather insulting. I'm 3/4 French, so I take umbrage.
And then it became whatever it became where...
He was running for senator. That's the seat that ultimately Obama won.
Yes. And yes. If it wasn't
later,
for that,
he becomes president. Yeah.
It's our fault. It is. The Chicago Tribune dug that, got the divorce records, and that was in there. Because divorce is always nice, and you're never going to find
it. Which part is your fault that you're...
Part of the Chicago Tribune. It's a newspaper.
No, I mean...
It's ink on paper. It's kind of a quaint idea.
What's your fault?
Old media.
What's your fault? The Tribunes.
The Tribunes. They actually were the ones
they
who
broke
got...
They broke the story.
They broke the story. They got the divorce... paper, the court papers from
the
divorce.
So you're biting the hand that feeds you right now.
No.
So they got this couple divorced. You're saying the Tribune divorces people.
No, they were already divorced. This was in the divorce papers.
They sunk his candidates.
One of the reasons that she was divorcing him was because he wanted to show the French people that he was having sex with his wife.
Right, so that's the fourth estate right there, fifth estate. Which estate are you?
Does it matter anymore?
No, it doesn't.
Digital estate.
Really?
Foreclosure estate.
God, jeez. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
August 4th.
August 4th.
What's August 4th?
Don't do that. That is the announced date of the separation of the Tribune Company, which is curious because it will be the Tribune Company sans the Tribune. That's when Tribune Publishing becomes its own dynamic new company with dynamic new future and dynamics galore.
And there's a... A lot of worry going around your offices.
Oh, there's a pucker factor of 11. It's, because they don't tell us anything. It is good to know that the guy who's going to be our CEO, you always make fun of me because I don't remember names. I don't remember. The CEO of Tribune Publishing served as a consultant for Tribune Company for, 14, 15 months and was paid $2.5 million. So at least someone's going to be profiting, and I think that's important.
No, keep talking. I think your job is safe. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's the whole corporate America thing that kind of gets under your skin and makes you angry. We're going forward, for the people who don't know, they're saddling the Tribune Publishing with $350 million in debt, which they did not incur, to be paid back to, stay with me on this, Tribune Company. Still with me? In addition, a $30 million two-year lease for all the newspapers to stay in the buildings they're in, which they pay to. Say it with me, kids. Come on. Tribune Company.
Scott, look at him.
Wow.
Yeah. He's going out there, full guns blazing.
I loved the newspaper business. I came into it when I was 18 years old, walked into my first newsroom. I bet you felt the same way when you saw radio for the first time. when you walked into the first studio, and it is a magic moment, and it makes you fall in love with this industry, my industry, which is newspapers, and to see what's happening to it, not just here but across the country, is painful and hurtful.
Well, somebody walked into a payphone company 50 years ago and thought, yeah, this is what I want to do.
This is the future.
What can you do?
Well, now there's a bank of payphones at Midway where my wife and I usually eat our dinner when we're waiting for the plane because no one's there, and they've got the little table next to the phone.
If you want to use it, got to have it.
No, you're right. Listen, you know, we're doing this on the Internet, so that's where things are going.
And we are doing something called the Caption Contest.
Oh, right. There's that.
What's your caption? What's your caption? Look at the picture. Think of something. Try and make it funny. Then tell us. What's your caption?
I would imagine you have a George Lucas Museum cartoon probably already in the works, right?
I was thinking, well, what do you say about that? I'm working on a cartoon. Actually, the Supreme Court had a bunch of decisions today, so I'm commenting on that. But what do you say? I mean, yay? It's a weird choice.
Don't you think? You haven't been listening.
He doesn't get the.
No.
He doesn't have.
You don't have stream. You don't have.
I gotta tell you,
you have
that's
a bad
the other
stream.
Thing. I swear to God, my office stream. All of a sudden over the last 10 days, the internet has it's like dial up. So, but so please catch me up. I'm sorry.
I just think it's a monument to a billionaire on a nice piece of land for a dollar.
Yeah.
I don't understand how the city gives a piece of land like that away for a dollar and puts more clutter on the lakefront.
In addition, Chicago Bears fans who and other people who go to events at Soldier Field are going to be, you know, SOL.
Oh, I'm sure they were high on the discussion list of who's going to be disrupted in this whole process.
We care about the people. That's you can do the ROM thing, which is you have that discussion in front of people with yourself. Was did I care about the people? Yes, I did. Did I think about it? Yes, I did. Was this more important? I made a call. Am I a leader? Yes, I am.
I think.
Should I kill the neighborhood cats? Yes, I should. Who's telling me this? The other voice. This can go on for a while.
No, don't do that anymore.
Okay.
The real funny part about all this is Ricketts sitting over there. He can't get scoreboard one. Oh. And you've got the giant Trump sign and the museum in the last 2 weeks. And he's sitting there for months trying to get something.
Years,
something.
Years.
Well,
not months.
But his daddy, don't forget, runs a very conservative and gives to conservative causes and gives to people that are friends to the mayor and his and David Axelrod and other people who aren't like-minded. So
didn't,
you pay a price
didn't they
for
think
that.
That whole thing out before they plowed into this?
Apparently not.
Well, they're sitting in it now. But that has to be a pimp to them, too, when they give these guys whatever they want instantly, and he can't see the writing that is on the wall.
Actually, you kind of wrote my cartoon
and that's
for
the way
tomorrow.
They got to do the score, write it on the wall, because they're not going to get an electronic scoreboard. What's your cartoon tomorrow?
You just gave me the idea, or at least, you know, the subject.
Yeah, he's sketching already.
The Trump, I am, I'm writing this down. It's Trump looking, yeah.
Again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's gratis. That's free. That's common.
Well, I don't know about that. I think there's an invoice involved.
Anyway, so yeah, the caption contest. We
have the cartoon being a Cubs player getting ready to swing at a ball. The ball has a face and its mouth is open. Looks like it's laughing. And Jeff Norman from Manuka sent this one. Ha ha, you're a Cub? I know this is going to hurt, but not as much as the pain you're going to feel in this 5-year rebuild. Ha ha, good luck with that.
Holy schmoles, that's like...
Oh, there's... Again, this cartoon has become a good way to channel anger and take it off the road rage.
Oh, that's nice. Well, see, we provide a service. It's all about the love here. On
Susan from Crystal Lake.
Kerry Meyer Show.
It's okay to hit me now. The WGN radio curse is lifted. Ooh. See what I mean? This is what people are doing. They're taking your little cartoon and venting.
That's kind of awesome. Are there any more venting ones?
Yeah, almost all of them are a vent of some sort.
Well, we're on the Internet.
Terry
so
Racine from Midlothian. That's the head of WGN management getting ready to be hit by all the Gary Meyer fans, BBGM.
Bring back Gary Meyer.
I can't tell you how many people during the course of a day tell me or how much they want you back.
All right, well, this is the future. We're on it now.
Sure.
And Mark Solomon of Gurnee, simply jinx. That's the ball going jinx. A lot of this type of response. Eric Avignon of Bourbonnais. Ha ha, like you're going to hit me.
Yeah, I got a lot of
those. Got
stuff
a lot of
like
those,
that.
Right?
This is my favorite. I have two favorites. This is from Ron Barker of Chicago. It says, "You haven't had a meaningful hit since Theodore Roosevelt was president." And if you do the math, 1908, he was president of the United States when the Cubs last won the World Series. Not FDR, TR. I love that.
This is from David Schroeder, Long Grove. Give me some wood. This is the ball saying to the batter, give me some wood.
Yeah, you know.
George Swick from Vernon Hills. Lay off, big guy. It's June, remember?
Mark Strong from Aurora. You guys have me in stitches. Stitches, because it's stitches on the ball.
Tim Edwards of Rosemont. Just like Cartoon Boy last week, the Cubs continue to not show up. Yeah, you called at the last minute and said you had some event.
I screwed up. Yeah, I screwed up. I had something else I had to do. I'm sorry.
Troy Kindle of Roselle. And they call me a screwball. This team has been screwing people since 1908.
See, you don't need the rest of that. So they call me a screwball. Boom. Funny.
All right.
Pithy. Short. This is from... Robert Murphy says, I understand you've been missing me lately.
Yeah, that's the theme of a lot of these. Merrily Brower, Hawthorne Woods. Hello, I'm George Lucas.
I don't know what that means, but it's fine.
I know. Well, I've got another one here. I don't know what it means from Dave Dombrowski from Elmwood Park. He goes, seriously?
That's simply.
Yeah.
Brian Bell, Decatur. Hey, Cubby, even if I was a hot blonde, you still couldn't hit this.
Oh.
Do you guys get this? I thought it was funny, but you tell me if you like it. It's from Mark Kroger over there in Princeton. It says, Scott, your name on that cartoon is too large. The mayor is furious.
That's a Trump thing.
Yeah. Too much of a stretch?
Yeah.
Nah, okay.
I don't know. All right.
I like this. You're going to lose your trademark. It's offensive to anyone who knows how to play baseball.
All right, well, you got a Cubs theme on this one, and you just did a Cubs theme not too long ago.
I do them a lot. Yeah, they're just fun. People like it.
And it sounds like when I mentioned that whole Ricketts thing, you're ready to go at it again.
I'm going
to
do that. I think that's a great cartoon for, obviously, I'm almost done with the editorial cartoon for tomorrow, but I think this is a great one for the next. I mean, it's not like this is going away.
What's the editorial one for tomorrow?
Editorial cartoon tomorrow is on the Supreme Court's decision on cell phones. Are you familiar with this? They ruled that cops...
You need a search warrant.
Need a search warrant to look through your cell phone, which seems curious to me, seeing that if they stop you and you're in an accident, they look to make sure you weren't texting, which means that would be a criminal act instead of just a traffic violation. But they said you have to have a search warrant. So I have two legal types walking behind Chief Justice Roberts, and one of them is saying to the other, what'd you expect? This is the same Supreme Court that ruled that corporations are people. And he's pointing to his cell phone saying, you have the right to remain silent.
Yeah, okay. He's working.
He's always biting.
He is.
Me and a Uruguayan soccer player.
I know this is probably not the same thing, but there was that flurry a few months ago where employers were looking at employees... I don't know if it was their phones or what were they going into that was getting a lot of attention.
Well,
it was
emails,
an invasion.
I thought email had already been established if I use my Tribune email, that email is owned by the company, hence they can look
through. Yeah, but there was something else where the employer was going into something that they probably shouldn't have gone into. And it wasn't their cell phone, was it, or was it?
I don't know.
You remember the theme of that?
No, you know what it was? This is one of those senior moments. They ask for the passwords of your social media, Twitter and
exactly.
Your Facebook.
Isn't that in the same vein, or am I stretching?
I think does a company have a right to look at your private documentation? And in Facebook, obviously, you can put it behind a private wall where you just share with friends your pictures of whatever the heck you take pictures of that you only want to share with your friends, which I don't know what those pictures are, but, you know, who am I to judge? This is a little different only because it's a legal matter. Like I said, if a cop comes onto a scene, the police officer cannot pick up the phone now and turn it on and start going through it.
Okay.
At that moment.
They have to get a search warrant.
Right.
But everything else in the car, they can go through. They look in the trunk, they do all that.
Yeah. So that's why this seems peculiar. I happen to be pro-privacy, but this was one of those. And it was a 9-0 decision. So then that's really rare.
Okay. And the top three captions that I pick will get a Gary Meyer muff, and some runners-up will get things like a Blackhawk signed Dickie.
That's awesome. You should sell these.
Okay. I know you keep going to that.
Such a capitalist.
Yes. And I don't blame you for thinking that way. That's why we live in America. It's just I like to give stuff away if I can give it away.
Okay.
Because
everybody's
got their hand on somebody's pants. And there has to be a respite somewhere. And again, I'm not opposed to capitalism. But some things should just be, hey, thanks for listening.
What about the Gear Force wings? Do you still have any of those?
Those are Dreamliner. We're just switching over to Gear Force now.
Okay.
Might be Gear Force jumpsuits. Because I like those pilots cool. When I went to the Rockford Air Show. I thought, wow, everybody looks cool. So good. I don't know if everybody does, but they certainly
look
good.
Well, you have to have the build for it.
Do you remember when W landed on the aircraft carrier, the mission accomplished?
Mm-hmm.
He flew in on a fighter.
Yeah, and he had that jumpsuit on.
There were two women columnists around the country who wrote, God, I didn't realize this, but he's kind of sexy.
Well,
was the jumpsuit.
He had the whole pack on, and it highlighted his package.
Well, you have to wear
the straps were pulling or framing little George.
His little bush.
That's what you need to wear the whole outfit, the helmet, the whole thing.
I heard the cell phone protection is only after someone has been arrested, so it wouldn't apply to someone who was driving.
But how? So, again,
that's what it says on this text.
Okay, that could be. I mean, there are grander legal minds out there, and plus, it's a funny joke. But my thinking is, if there's probable cause at the scene, let's say he comes on, there's an accident, there's a cell phone, does the police officer have a right at that scene? I hope your person who just texted you can answer this. And can the officer then open the phone to see if one of the drivers was texting?
All right.
I was actually driving recently and looked at the car at the stoplight next to me, and she was, I'm not kidding, FaceTiming. I could see her phone, and there's some face going, jabbering away.
FaceTiming meaning?
Video.
Back and forth.
Yeah, no danger there.
All right. Scott, thank you.
Gary, thank you.
And next Wednesday we'll not be on because it's vacation time.
Where are you going?
I'm going to get detoxed.
Going to rehab. Can't say the location.
Yeah, they frown on that because they need all the privacy.
It goes someplace nice, though? I mean.
Nice. It's all dependent on the weather, isn't it? Wherever you go. Could be Hawaii, and if it's not nice, well, there was a waste of 9 hours of flying.
Yeah, no kidding.
So then when I get back, we'll continue on with this. What do you say?
I love the idea.
It'll be July.
Oh, my God. Oh, just so much closer to our...
Yeah, and bring more of that acid talk that you have about your employer.
That's Did I say anything that was not factual?
No.
No.
You didn't.
No.
All right.
They love us as their own children. They do.
Thank you, Scott Stantis. WGN.FM. And what do I have here for a breather? I've got... You want some baba?
Oh, all right.
I got some baba.
Okay, vamp a little there.
Oh, I love the sound of scrolling.
In the morning.
I am now 2 hours and 20 minutes commercial free. Did I play any commercials yet? How about that? Where do you get that?
No commercials at all? Just music.
I don't think we've played any commercials, have we? No. Craig says no.
Just music.
Find that somewhere out there in old media. Not that I'm opposed to commercials, because they're going to have to be there at some point. You got to pay the bills. But right now, why not just enjoy the luxury of commercial free?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you don't guess. You know. 312-521-8600. That is the text and the phone number. And I think we'll do a little hoo here. A little hoo-ha. And then more fun stuff. Before 7, I promise. .fm. Eroding every day. There's always something when you open the internet or whatever and you see another story about how you have to really keep the shade shut. There's a reason the satellite images the public gets to see tend to be low on detail. It was illegal for them not to be, but the U.S. government recently changed all that, removing a rule banning satellite images in which features smaller than about 20 inches were visible. The move comes thanks to an appeal from Digital Globe, a firm that already has the technology, to show items as small as 12 inches. That's our Lincoln doll.
Oh.
Allowing it to show key features such as manholes and mailboxes appearing at Lollapalooza. Ladies and gentlemen.
Manholes and mailboxes, they're great.
Digital Globe intends to launch a new satellite in August and says more satellites will be launched to take advantage of the change. And they're not the only benefactors. Google recently bought a company called Skybox, which by 2016 plans to snap full images of the Earth at previously illegal resolutions twice a day. And that's envisioning a world where you can use Google Maps to check whether you left your porch light on. Yeah, because I think there was a clamoring for this technology. Did I leave my porch light on?
I think they already have a system. Nest? Have you heard about Nest?
No.
Where you pretty much can computerize your home already. You decide the lighting, you can decide the thermostat and all that, and it'll close your doors for you and make sure they're locked, even if you're at a remote location.
Okay, but you're in control of that.
Right. So
these things,
what fun is that when we can have Big Brother looking at you instead?
A Seattle woman caught two men piloting a drone outside her downtown apartment.
You knew
this. In a possible attempt to peep at her. And what was the jump start of VHS?
It's always
Betamax,
porn.
The always, internet. It's always naked women.
It's always porn. Porn has driven our revolution.
Lisa Police lives on the 26th floor in her complex. When she spotted the unmanned aerial vehicle hovering outside her window about 7:45 in the morning, appearing to be aimed at her window, the drone seemed to be loaded with video equipment. It was actually quite large, she said. It appeared that there were video cameras on it. So that's what kind of caused me alarm, because I wasn't particularly dressed for a camera by any means. I wasn't appropriate. She was not decent.
She wasn't.
Are you decent?
I'm not appropriate.
Are you decent? Concerned that the device might be spying on her movements, she immediately contacted her front desk concierge, who in turn called police and went outside to investigate. He spotted two men piloting the drone with a tripod. I hope that was on.
Well, you said items were 12 inches, didn't you?
And a video camera lying beside them on the ground soon after they packed up their gear and drove away.
Let's start a company for two-way glass. It's going to be more and more necessary to have that obscured exterior while you can still see out.
That's what I thought when I started to see the home use of drones. Come on. This is the rich man's, now everybody's right. Access to peeping Tomism.
And you thought the little camera under the dress was impressive.
Oh, that's
that's
old media.
Yeah,
that's,
so guys are pretty simple, and that's apparently something that men for millennia have been interested in. Will they ever get bored? I mean,
no.
If there's that much nakedness available to you, no.
No.
Welcome to the internet.
Yeah.
No, never
Sorry.
Mind.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Yeah,
but men are pigs.
Always
have always been.
Will be.
Always will be.
Okay, good.
These nude beaches that previously were tucked away maybe somewhere, you know, these are going to be on YouTube now everywhere. These things fly over, take one quick shot, and you got a whole assortment there.
Yeah, there goes Girls Gone Wild. That goes guy goes out of business in 2 seconds now.
Is that still around?
I don't think
so. Well, he's had some legal issues.
He's been in and out of jail, and he might still be in jail. I don't know.
I don't know if, well, there was a problem with one of the girls was under 18. I think I remember that. But I think it was mostly money situations where it might have been a tax deal. They always get you on the tax deal.
Ask Al Capone.
And, right, I think he got kind of in a trick bag with that more than the girls.
And he was a big gambler, too. There was a lot of weird money stuff going on with him, yeah. But he lived high for a while. My gosh, those commercials used to be
they're everywhere.
Every night.
Yeah.
At four stations.
Yeah.
Not that I would see them.
But they were on, they weren't just on naughty channels.
No.
They were on your average channel at night, and they would just blur out the parts.
You know, solely to get that answer for you, I looked it up. Girls Gone Wild is still around. Website and everything.
Wow. Still putting out new product, or because
it appears
not like
or is it vintage?
is it recent or 10 years ago?
It's current.
So he's still cranking it out.
Yep.
Fort Lauderdale, 1998.
That's one of the titles, cranking it out. You would think he could just sell the same. Well, I guess you got to get people that have the whole collection. Got to get them to buy new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Can't just keep selling me the old stuff over
and they'd show this guy in his mansion and private plane and all the stuff. He must have made a fortune and apparently still is.
I don't know. I wonder if he's still involved, though. You know, he might. It still might be going on, but he might not be still involved anymore.
Maybe he sold the company.
Yeah. But, oh, my gosh, remember they used to show him on his private planes?
Yeah, that's what I said, in his mansion.
Yeah, I mean, he was flying around. Then they had those buses with the...
The Girls Gone Wild buses.
Yeah.
Coming into your town.
Yeah.
In 2012, he had to pay up $7.5 million to Steve Wynn for defamatory statements made
about his
by
gambling.
Francis.
About what?
Something about his gambling, because he had a huge... He was gambling, and there was some kind of problem at one of the wins. I thought
and
it was a
Joe Francis had a gambling thing.
Yeah.
And made disparaging comments about Steve Wynn, and then lost a case that Wynn filed claiming that he was defamed by Francis.
Do we have that clip from Lost in America when Albert Brooks wants his money back? Because that's what this is.
It's going to be it.
In a bold experiment, you give me my money back.
You couldn't get a room here for 10 years.
Schmuck C. Wayne.
The Desert Inn has heart.
What?
We have a whole campaign.
What? Am I a schmuck that I like Wayne Newton? Oh, did I use an entertainer?
See if we can find that here. And just let's play that. And that is the exchange. You lose a lot of money gambling, and then you go to the casino manager. Hey, I had a bad night, and you just give me my money back, and we'll call it square.
I'll show you some girls lifting their shirts.
My wife aren't gamblers.
No. We dropped out of society and are touching Indians, and we just had a bad night here in Vegas.
I understand you lost a lot of money.
I met Gary Marshall a few years after that movie at a Lakers game. I saw him.
Really?
I was way up, and he was down on the floor there. So during one of the breaks, I went down there because I had to shake his hand. He's with the Gary with 2 Hours Club. It's a very exclusive club.
Oh, that's true.
So
that your opener? That how you started?
No. I did have to tell him, though. I said, that scene in Lost in America, and he goes, you know, a lot of that was ad-libbed.
Really?
Albert just let us ad-lib the whole thing.
Because you could see a couple of times Gary Marshall's
laughing.
Yeah.
Boldest experiment in advertising history, you give us our money back.
I beg your pardon?
Give us our money back. Think of the publicity. The Hilton Hotels has these billboards all over Los Angeles where the winners of these slot machine jackpots, their faces are all over L.A., and I know that works. I've seen people at corners look up and say, maybe I'll go to the Hilton. Well, you give us our money back. I don't even know now because I'm just coming off the top of my head, but a visual where if we had a billboard and the Desert Inn handed us our nest egg back, this gives the Desert Inn, really, Vegas is not associated with feeling.
Well, first of all, those people on those signs, they won. You lost.
But that's it. That's the campaign.
What's the campaign?
You gave my wife and I our money back because you reviewed our situation and you realized that we dropped out of society and we weren't just gamblers and we made a mistake and you gave our money back. Do you know you couldn't get a room in this place for 10 years?
Then everybody will want their money back. All the gamblers will say, hey, go to the Desert Inn and get our money back.
Not gamblers. You know, you keep all the money. It's just that my wife and I aren't gamblers. That's what I'm saying. That's the distinction. My wife and I represent the few people, and I'll tell you something, there's probably nobody else that's ever going to come and have this happen. So really, probably we're the only two. We represent the people who have taken the chance, and we made a mistake, and then the Desert Inn corrects it and gives it back. There is a warm feeling here.
But you don't think everybody then will want their money back?
No. In the campaign, you make a clear distinction between the bold, who would be my wife and I, and then all the other schmucks who come here to see Wayne Newton.
I like Wayne Newton.
I said Wayne Newton.
What were you talking about? I heard you say schmuck C. Wayne Newton. I like him. That makes me a schmuck.
Oh, no. I'm stupid to use an entertainer as a dividing point. I just meant all the people that come here carefree on their way to see a show, and my wife and I, who, if you knew us, believe me, you would believe me.
You're bold.
Yes. So what do you think?
I don't think the sign's going to work and giving back.
The sign is wrong. A jingle. A television campaign. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart. The Desert Inn has heart.
It's enough. The casino is our main means of income. Not the coffee shop, not the show, the casino. That's what pays all our bills. So if we give everybody their money back, we can't pay our bills. I'm sorry, we can't change our policy.
Okay, play a fun word game with me. This will do it. What do you think of when you think of a hunting lodge?
Hunt.
Yes. What do you think of when you think of a rest home?
Your rest.
So, you see, we're going to associate the Desert Inn with something beautiful. You don't think of anything here now, do you?
Gambling. That's why people come here.
That's
right. They gamble. They want to go to hunting lodge. They go to Wisconsin. They want to rest. They go to New Orleans. They want to gamble. They come to Vegas. That's what it's called, gambling, Las Vegas gambling. You see signs around this town with guys with guns shooting ducks? It's a gambling place. They don't shoot ducks, raccoons, beavers. They come to gamble. That's what we do here. Now, you're a nice guy. You make me laugh and everything. But our policy is we can't give your money back. I'm real sorry. Say goodbye to your wife. I got to go home.
What about Miracle on 34th Street?
It's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it was. Now, there was Gimbals, who was afraid that if they gave something up, that they would lose. And they wound up benefiting. He was afraid that if he gave to Macy's, he would lose his business, and he didn't. It's the same situation. This costs you nothing. To give us our money back is nothing. You would be the one who would benefit.
Wrong. In that movie, Santa Claus took care of everything. It was Macy's, Gimbals, but Santa Claus came, and he fixed the whole thing. We don't have Santa Claus.
Then we get him.
Who?
Santa Claus. We get him. That's the ad campaign. There it goes. I have the chills. We get Santa Claus. He's the one on the billboard. He hands us our nest egg. We associate for the first time ever Christmas and Las Vegas. Las Vegas, a Christmas place to be.
We're finished.
There it is. From Lost in America, Albert Brooks and Gary Marshall. You can tell.
That is genius.
Gary is
totally laughing.
Totally getting off on that
exchange. With the Wisconsin thing. Shoot beavers records.
It's gambling.
Now, look, you make
guns. You don't see guys with guns on the billboards.
Now,
it's look, gambling.
You're a funny guy. You make
me laugh. At the end of that, he goes, your room, your food, your drinks, comped.
Oh, no.
I need my money back. The Girls Gone Wild guy is still living large. Kim and Kanye spent part of their honeymoon at his Mexico beachfront estate. That's from Lisa on a text.
A lot of money in those little teenage flashes.
Would you bring your shower cap if you were staying at a Joe Francis
I probably wouldn't
beachfront.
Have to. I got a shower cap from a listener who was in New York at a hotel, and as soon as he got into the hotel, he goes, I'm giving this shower cap to Gary because I'll wrap the remote control in a sandwich bag.
And his wife looked at him aghast.
His girlfriend went, what are you doing? Well, I'm wrapping the remote control with the sandwich bag so I can send Gary the shower cap. Thank you. And I'm doing a Jerry curl in a couple of weeks, and that'll come in handy. Says that Joe Francis dated Melissa Rivers.
Really?
Hollywood's too incestuous.
That doesn't seem like his type.
I know.
If he has a type.
I've never heard
by type,
that.
I would imagine it's young and naked.
I can't believe Joan would have allowed that.
Are you kidding? He's super rich when he's paying his bills. 312-521-8600, the phone number and the text number. So you got your drones peeping into your window. Be careful.
We gave up privacy many years ago.
Not like this, though.
Well,
no, but I mean, in the last 5, 6, 7 years with the whole smartphone, I mean, we've...
And the cameras everywhere, the security cameras. 8 things drones can be used for in the future other than mass destruction. They can go where no man has gone before. Drones can navigate some of the most remote and hard-to-reach places in the world. Okay. Military operations. I think we understand what that use is. The drones can cover more ground in less time than soldiers can on foot. And that's what they're using them for now. And killing right on the battlefield. Search and rescue. Hundreds of people go missing in the wilderness each year, especially out west. Now, this is a good application because how many times have I said when these skiers decide to go on some X'd out slope and then they get lost or whatever?
What, there's still 5 or so on the side of Mount Rainier.
Have they never...
I don't think they said they weren't going to be able to get into that terrain to find out for sure.
Well, send a drone up, see if they can spot it on the drone.
But even if I find it, I still have to send people there to get them, though, right? Or can, you know...
I was thinking about that the other day. Can they make it, and I guess it's obviously going to be bigger, a drone that can lift an average-sized person?
That's...
Sure.
That would be the next...
Serious. I saw it in Hunger Games, so I'm pretty sure it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Well, if they don't they help people in helicopters?
Yeah, it's a helicopter though.
Well,
I'm talking about an unmanned drone that can lift somebody. That's a
bigger
piece of machinery.
Two of those little claw things on it,
yeah.
Like you
like
use
the penny
for picking
arcade.
Up your socks.
Or those stuffed
there you go,
animals that you can never get at the
yeah. Hopefully they're a little
the
more
cool grocery store. There
yeah, in the lobby there.
But hopefully the claw hooks
lobby.
Onto the person better.
It's not a lobby in a grocery store. You know what I'm talking about. Disaster assistance. Drones were used in Haiti after the earthquake to drop essential supplies like medicine and medical kits. Help our farmers. Drones can perform aerial surveys and use infrared technology to help determine how well crops are growing, as well as monitor irrigation systems.
I'm pretty sure those are already in use, yeah.
Help law enforcement. While there is potential for abuse, with proper regulation, drones can help police look for criminals on the run. In public spaces only, of course. Put out fires. Drones can work in conjunction with planes to help put out fires. Provide jobs. Right now, drones are a $10 million per year industry. $10 million per year industry. They are not going away. By embracing them and establishing laws with regard to privacy and proper usage, the drone industry could create many new jobs in the upcoming years. Oh, yeah, they're here to stay. No doubt about that. Little more, I think, possibly a little more sales than the Segway. I thought that was going to be big in China. I thought, here are people that maybe can't afford a car, and it's too congested to get cars everywhere. How about Segways? Why haven't they? Maybe they are all over China. But that would seem like the perfect thing in China, unless they have long distances to go.
But aren't they big?
Which?
The Segway.
No, smaller than a car.
I mean, my point is, if you see all the people walking on the streets there.
Well, it might be
how could
a Segway backup.
You couldn't put five Segways across, can you?
Now, how about they go single file?
Okay.
Better than cars. That's not going anywhere. They have those, if you've seen it on the internet, what are they, 45-mile backups, and there are 10 lanes of traffic in each direction.
Right.
It's just solid cars for miles.
Well, if they got rid of, like, say, on their sides, on their main streets, if they got rid of cars on the streets and everybody had a Segway, then you probably have a little more room, because don't forget, people then have to maneuver. I'm not all walking the same spot. What if I want to move? What if I'm in the middle and I want to go into a store?
On the other hand, cars are an emerging market in China. People are being able to afford them the way they never could
but
before. You're going to tell them you can't have a car?
But how, space-wise, with a billion-plus people, how many cars are you going to get out there before you're not moving at all?
Those little smart
Look
cars.
At that
yeah,
internet backup. It's about 50 miles, 10 lanes in each direction, and they're completely solid.
I told you about this in the office today. Today, the complete lower whacker was completely jammed up. There's one lane closed going one way, so that was wall-to-wall cars. It was unbelievable. And then on my side, they had to lift up the
bridge.
The bridge for a couple of boats. So I sat there for 15
minutes.
These
were sailboats?
Yeah. So I had to sit there for 15 minutes. And wait for that.
It is Wednesday. Wednesdays and Saturdays this time of year.
Why don't they do that on Wednesday after, say, 7 o'clock?
Well, it's not convenient, Luffy.
And because then I'm going out in the afternoon.
Okay. If you don't have your boat out by now, last week in June or so, last few days in June, I don't think it's worth bringing out. Or are they just cruising the river just to cruise the river today?
Yeah, you got off Wednesday. You had a day off.
Once you are out and wherever your dock is, you stay out there. You're not coming back until October.
No river for
yeah.
you. No
and if you're
you.
Not out there by June 1st, you're done. The season's
People
over
love
for
going
you.
Through the locks and stuff.
So
that's
I think there's
of the
some
experience.
Of that, too.
Oh, that, oh, you could tell. And everybody was taking pictures, too. There was a big tourist bus that basically got stuck in the middle of an intersection because they were turning, and then all of a sudden the guardrail went down and the bridge went up, so they were all taking pictures like this was a big thing. And meanwhile, you know, people have to get somewhere. I'm like, this is 2014. This is still going on.
Can't we have, and they do have those masts that come down, right? Fold down?
Fold. Yeah, but some do, some don't.
Well, I say they all have to be a foldable mast.
There you go.
And it was two boats.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
So it's Wednesdays and Saturdays at
Two different times?
Throughout the midday period. I want to say it's like from 10 to 3 or something.
Oh, so it could be any time.
Plus, aren't they working on the Dearborn Bridge? So that's up altogether.
Dearborn's up because of the Riverwalk work. And then they've been doing some sort of utility work on Lower Michigan Avenue northbound every day of the
week.
What's
on the one that we would turn down?
Northbound Michigan
Avenue. Is that
the
one you're talking about?
Yeah, and that's utility
work. That was closed. That one was closed. So I had to go to the next one, and that's where the boats were going through.
That's Columbus, then.
Okay.
And there are people in Sudan listening to this thinking, that's your biggest problem?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is. Totally
is. That's why we live in this country.
I'm sorry that I won the vagina lottery, and I landed here.
Oh.
And I kind of
don't forget to scratch and drive.
I ate a little too much at lunch. I'm feeling kind of full, too. There's
yeah,
problem number two.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I mean, if I'm going to start feeling bad about having a good life.
One man is upset because the other man, the sailboat man, who's enjoying
obviously
a decent life,
yeah,
he's got to get his boat through, and the other man,
he's not worried about me,
can't get to his job of looking at his iPod for 4 hours. It's all disruptive.
I guess it's all relative, isn't it?
It is. So quit your beefing and enjoy the museum in 4 years when it
opens. Oh, man. I wonder how much it's going to cost, too. It better be free.
To get in? No,
yeah.
I doubt that.
It better be free.
I doubt that.
We're paying $1 for the land, so it better be free.
Okay, not to be a doubter, but what if they do take all this stuff from Planet Hollywood and add that to it to beef it up a little bit?
Don't laugh.
Those two guys that called, they had seen some of the Star Wars stuff at various other museums. The space and
Air and Space
Museum in Washington. And said it's kind of funky up close, but it does have that feel of Planet Hollywood where they would have Sylvester Stallone's backpack from Cliffhanger when you had your patty melt in a case.
Yep.
That's not high line.
Well, that's what happens even at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's a moment where you walk in and you see some of the, like you first see Mick Jagger's something or, you know, Elvis's something. But then after 10 minutes, you're like, now you're seeing other people's, and you're like, okay, now what? And then or here's somebody's guitar, and it's like very, very recognizable. Okay, but now I'm going to see 75 other guitars in the next 4 hours.
We went through that at the Henry Ford Museum, and it's like, well, there it's women who rock. So you got to see Cher's Indian outfit,
right.
And like I told you, Liz Phair's long leather jacket, and after a while, it does kind of seem silly. But in 10 years, is anybody going to know who Liz Phair is anyway? And in the same way,
well,
in
Star
10
Wars
years,
has legs, though. I mean,
legs are 3 inches where you thought they were 50 feet high.
Let's be honest now. They're making these three more movies and over the next 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So
are they as popular? I know there's that convention and they all dress up and everything.
Are the
movies as popular as they were 15, 20 years ago?
Have
they lost any fizz?
I think
they might have, but look at Star Trek. The only thing that's keeping Star Trek so alive are the newer movies and the fact that they've really amped it up now. They've been true to the storylines that Gene Roddenberry laid down, but it's still very current, and they have made major changes in the way they do all the sci-fi techniques. I mean, a tricorder up close is not a... It was a transistor radio with an LED light attached to it. Now, with CG, we've got all that other stuff.
What's that try what?
A tricorder.
It's sort of like your flip phone.
Yeah.
That's what like Kirk used to talk into. Like.
But the other thing with those conventions is it is Star Trek, it's Star Wars, it's all sorts of other sci-fi genres coming together. That's how you fill a convention center.
Now that you say that, my thought of putting it at McCormick Place and then the convention could be intertwined with that. Are you kidding me?
There you
go. I just got a chubby. Well, think about this. People think I'm nuts. I know. I understand. Oh, by the way, last night on the news, there was a Spirit Airline flight at O'Hare, I believe, for some reason, stuck on the tarmac for hours, and it was ungodly hot. I was sweating just looking at the footage. Somebody was obviously with their phone getting some footage, and I'm thinking, here's my idea. And they, They got within 20 feet of the gate, and they still couldn't get off. Some people were passing out. They finally had to have cops come up there, and there was almost a riot, I guess. And I'm thinking, wait, I've had this idea, and they have these buses. I've seen them at other airports.
Right.
The bus goes out. It rises up on these scissor things and plugs right onto the plane, so there's no security risk. You're not leaving anything. You're getting into this other vehicle that's air-conditioned, has some snacks.
Right.
Can't you have a few of those at the airport?
It
right?
makes perfect sense.
Thank you.
And this thing was insane.
Yeah, but we keep hearing these stories, and they never have any solution. Now, this whole Star Wars thing. He could have the museum up and going within a year
if he,
or
if
less.
You already have the building
go
there.
With
yeah.
an existing building.
Right.
Put it in one of the McCormick places. You have the convention right there. And these people are going to have, like, they're going to just be getting off. Like, they got, there's their stuff. That's the original stuff.
Well, and I'm wondering, too, they're saying 2018 or 2018. Yeah. Are they calculating how long the court cases are going to take? Because there are already people saying, wait, this is not acceptable. This does
and
not
the
follow
city
the...
city said today they're going to roll right over those people like they do everybody else.
Yeah, that's what Emmanuel said.
But aren't you going to have to at least have, you know, a couple of hearings on this? You would think.
Hey, it's an election year. He's going to put this on his little resume of accomplishments. Why do you think this all happened so fast?
Yeah,
he's being elected in February is the election, I think.
You're already saying he's reelected?
No, well, I'm just saying his reelection campaign, he's going to point to, we are now a world-class city once again. We've got this amazing thing, and they're already in the paper today. It was not only was it the drop of the ball by San Francisco, but it was the heavy lobbying by Mayor Emanuel.
If I'm Ricketts, I sell him Wrigley Field, Lucas Wrigley Field, put your museum there, and I get the hell out, because you obviously have it greased, I don't, and I'm out of here. But that seems to make sense, and that could be up, like I said, within a year.
Well, one of the things...
You're talking about you need revenue coming in now, 4 years from now, and who knows how things shift and twist and turn.
Yeah, but we get to get jobs that build a new place. So it's better to build from scratch.
Well, they'd have to do some reconfiguring and
aren't they going to build the Obama Library? That'll keep them busy for a while, too.
Well, they said one of the reasons they put it there was because they want to tap into the convention business of people at McCormick Place will be able to visit the museum.
Boom. There you go.
If it's in one of the McCormick places, they just have to go across that enclosed bridge. And there's all the stuff right in the corner.
Well, you know that he's going to have some... big design, some futuristic
Again,
design.
To have the monument to himself.
Okay, so with that, have you ever been to House on the Rock in Wisconsin?
No.
I've been there.
And this was an architect who built that monument to himself, and it's got a layer of creepy...
It's very tacky.
It's
very
super
tacky.
Interesting and super tacky,
really tacky
all at the same time. And I'm kind of smelling that in the future.
And I saw that 30 years ago, and it was tacky. I can only imagine what it looks like now.
I don't know if there's a better way to go. When I really think about it, I think we hit a jackpot here. There's no taking of tailgate space.
Right.
You're in one of the buildings that's not used that much. There are conventions that are there that can go and rub up against Chewbacca, whatever they want to do. Right?
It makes so much sense.
Just because something makes sense and just because it's logical doesn't mean they're going to do it.
Here's another idea I had, and son of a gun, I to this day think it was the best idea. When Channel 2 was leaving their location on McClurg over here, and that Disney Quest building was up, but Disney Quest went out of business.
Yeah.
I said to the guy who ran Channel 2, you should move over to that building. It's right off of Michigan Avenue if you're looking for visibility, and that's what you do with these because they want to showcase studio. It's already up. It's got to be a lot cheaper than starting from scratch, and the location seems perfect. It's available. So he builds this thing over...
On Dearborn and
Clark. On Dearborn by Daly Plaza, where at night it's just barren. I know they want people to be jumping up and down. There's nobody there. And they spent a fortune, and the guy got whacked right after that because I don't think they liked how much he spent on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, Joe, I told you, you could have been. Oh, and I think the response was, it's not big enough. Come on, it's three stories, I believe.
And they got Italy there now.
That's on the other side.
Yeah.
The room and board building, the room and board furniture place went in.
Yeah.
And there, in fact, there was a little patio where you could have done weather right out on the patio
outside.
Already built in there.
Because now when Channel 2 News, when they show outside, there's nothing there at 10 o'clock. There's not a car driving. There's not a person in Daly Plaza.
I hope Kate Sullivan parks inside somewhere there because I would be afraid.
They're praying that Chris Kindle Market stays open a little longer just so there are people
the
around.
Wrong. Plus, they did a crap job on the outside of that.
Yeah.
That screen is not even that big for a TV station, and it looks like it's unfinished because all of the conduit is exposed.
Well, no. See, the problem
is... It's not centered either.
It was supposed to be a bigger screen.
It isn't.
It was supposed to be a bigger screen. And then they got in trouble. Either somebody said it's too big, or the reflection of the sun was so, because it was so big, you couldn't see anything on the screen.
It's wrong. It looks unfinished.
Oh, I know.
It's just a bad
job. You can see all the guts.
Yeah, the conduit's all exposed. I thought, when are they going to finish this? So that was my idea. Much cheaper, of course. Again. Oh yeah, right. You again.
You again.
I got to stop coming up with these ideas.
And didn't you say something to the people on State Street about the sign or something? Didn't you say around the Channel 7?
Yeah, I when I worked there, I wanted, first of all, to go down on the first floor and have a studio there because it was all vacant. They owned the building. No. And then I leave. They put Channel 7 down there right after I leave.
And ESPN Radio is there now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't we get some kind of jumbotron on the building here? Channel 7 has it, but the sight line is really bad because the L track, when you're looking south on State Street, you can't see it. And then,
so they've got that vertical
video. Yeah, but it's not high enough.
Right.
That's my point.
It's short.
And if you're looking north, when the trees are in bloom, it blocks half of the sign. Yeah, mock me some more. Thank you. Anything else?
Wow, you have the whole city set.
What am I doing here?
I'm thinking of a Facebook page. Elect Gary
EGM.
EGM.
I didn't even finish college, and I can come up with some of this stuff. 312-521-8600. Emily, what's up?
Hey. Hey, listen, it is more than just a Star Wars museum. From my understanding, it spans the breadth of George Lucas's career, which I know mostly is Star Wars, but, I mean, he began with THX 1138, from in film school.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Where is the 300 guys? Where are the 300 guys? Ah, ooh!
Spartans! What is your profession?
The Immortals. It's 6 o'clock, Emily. That's why all that happened.
Yeah.
Got your attention, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and just a correction, and sorry, I'm a total Star Trek geek. The tricorder is a medical device, not the communicator.
Not the communicator.
Oh, you stupid idiot.
That's what Bones used.
I am ashamed.
I'm a doctor, Jim.
Sorry.
Tricorder.
Well, then, I can understand how that stuff could get repetitive in a museum. I don't, you know. So we'll see. Hopefully, it'll be a pretty interesting deal.
How old a woman are you, Emily?
Pardon me?
How old are you?
I'm 44.
And you've enjoyed all of the Star Wars movies?
Yes, I did.
None of them look clunky to you?
I did not like the sort of cheesy romance in the fifth. The third or whatever. I can never keep them straight.
Yep.
The Amidala.
Yeah,
Darth
that whole
Vader
thing.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There was one, I saw it on cable, and I thought, I can't believe that Lucas let this go out. It just seems so bad. But I have to say, you did spark me about a George Lucas movie. American Graffiti is a masterpiece, and that was his.
Yeah. I mean, he's done a lot more than just Star Wars, and so I would imagine the museum will cover. It's like a presidential library, you know?
Yeah, but
the whole...
do you agree that the city should have given him the land for a dollar?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you wanted to build something on the lakefront and it was a dollar, you think they'd offer a dollar a piece of land to you?
Probably not.
No. Now, don't you feel like it's just billionaires getting their way and the rest of us have to pay the bill?
That's right. You're right.
But
you're
she doesn't have a Howard the Duck exhibit that she'll be able to put up. Because that was George
Lucas. That?
Because that was George Lucas.
That's the only movie I think I walked out on.
So that's going to be a very popular part of the exhibit.
Yes.
But think of the American Graffiti part of this museum. It's pretty much every kind of burger joint that popped up after that movie came out and is now being pulled down because people are bored with that whole shtick anymore.
All right, Wolfman Jack with you.
You want a popsicle?
All right. I have to say, when I saw that movie, that really solidified my thoughts about getting into radio.
Well, see, that's
okay, but I got to get more than a dollar for my lakefront property.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You might be too close
to
it, Emily.
I think I am.
What's your favorite character?
My favorite character of Star Wars?
Yeah.
You know, I'm really a Star Trek fan, so can I say Captain Kirk?
Okay, Captain Kirk. Good answer. Good answer. Do you like my idea of having this museum in a McCormick Place building, and then when they have the convention, you can just all be in the same building together and lie down on a piece of Visqueen with C-3PO?
I was somewhat impressed with the fact that they're putting it at the museum campus. I thought that made a lot of sense. I heard a report earlier today regarding all of that, and you know that the museum campus was, you know, made for museums so that they would build museums. They did talk about how it's possible that there's going to be lawsuits because of the whole,
right.
I don't know, something about Grant Park and
the lakefront was supposed to be building free. That was the design by Burnham. And
right.
Obviously that's gone.
Right.
Where does it stop, though? Why doesn't Bill Gates come in and go, I want my Microsoft museum. I'll pay for it, but I need the, right?
It's true. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's too late now. It just seems wrong. It's just something wrong about it.
Is there open space at the Broadcast Museum?
It
seemed like there was
space.
Some open
about
space there.
Five floors.
Well, or the Tribune Tower here. We got a vacant space right on Michigan Avenue. Wouldn't you like to walk down Michigan Avenue and see Tartar or Tam Tam or Tampon? What's the name of that character?
Tampon.
Staring you right in the face there? then Chewbacca. What are some other characters? I don't know all the. I know Jar Jar Binks. And
I know you always.
Whenever I mention that, it's
Jar Jar is the most unpopular of every character.
Really want to get in with the in crowd, just say Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
That wins every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did Jar Jar do that was so bad?
First of all, he wasn't real.
What do you mean?
He was a completely computerized character. And then
because all the other ones are real?
They are. But this was, you know, when that first happened, he was the first ever kind of lead character that was generated. And then secondly, he had an annoying personality, horrible voice, this Jamaican voice.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit anywhere with anything.
And it was kind of the comedic element that nobody wanted.
Yeah. It was just
the real question, Gary, is are they going to have an adjacent museum dedicated to Spaceballs? Because there's
Spaceballs. I'd rather see that, to be honest with you.
Yep.
I'd rather see a Mel Brooks museum.
Mel Brooks Museum, yep.
Got me on that one. I don't know. It just seems it's so inconsistent on how things are done here. Like I said, you got Wrigley Field. The guy's trying to get all that stuff up. He can't get square one done. And you got Trump threw the sign up, museum's going up for Lucas, and then he's sitting over there. And it's just because it's all political.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. But nothing makes much sense these days.
Okay, well, you got that right.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Thank you, Emily. 312-521-8600.
Well, really though, think about so there was that THX. Is that mm-hmm. the first one? But he hasn't really made a lot of movies. There was the THX, which was the first kind of science fiction thing. Then there was
American
Graffiti. Then there was Star Wars.
And there was Howard the Duck.
But wasn't he the driving force behind Industrial Light and Magic?
Oh, certainly. I mean, in terms of...
So
yeah,
that,
I'm just talking about specific movies, though, that he has been, you know, involved in.
But with Industrial Light and Magic, you sit people in front of their computers, and they pretty much can see that without needing to go to a building on the lakefront in order to understand just...
That's
how
what
cool
I
the
said.
Computer
if you can see all that stuff on your computer, why do you need to go and park for $40 and walk in a building? I wonder, does the planetarium still draw? Do those places draw?
Well, that's
school groups.
Yeah, I mean, that's the last time I went to the Adler Planetarium was when I was in sixth grade.
But I want
to
say they've really like amped up the sky show. So occasionally you go there, and
Have you gone?
Like day dates there with
have
the hubby, yeah. Okay.
That's pretty interesting, place. Obviously, to see how small we are this whole get-go.
But, like, is the shed... I can't remember the last time. I saw the beluga whales the first time they ever came there. That was how many years ago?
Field Museum. I mean, are you motivated to go see bones?
I've seen Sue.
Yeah.
I've got to say, the cost of the museums is so ridiculously high. This used to be the place that you could just wander in if you were downtown. Hey, let's just go check out the museum for a couple hours. And it didn't cost you more than, you know, it cost less than getting a hamburger and a hot dog to go to the museum. And now, though, it's $80, $90 for the whole experience if you want to go
to... If I went to all three?
I want to say it's... really high, like just to go to the Museum of Science and Industry and see the U-505 and the space exhibit. Once you start adding all those things together, it gets crazy expensive.
All right. Well, I don't know how much they're going to charge to go see the Lucas stuff, but it's not going to be free. There's no way it's going to be free.
Well, then it's probably going to be $50, right?
I don't know.
Don't you think?
I don't know. Set a price.
I would think if she's saying that some of these are $30, this is George Lucas's. I mean, you know, this has to be 50 because you're going to want tourists, and tourists when they're in town will pay any money that there is.
We shall see. It's time for the opening on WGN.FM 610. You stoonads! A woman climbed over the barrier at the Memphis Zoo to the enclosure where lions are kept. And tried to offer them cookies and sang to them.
She's terrifying.
Hey, Mufasa, dinner is served. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from Chewbacca's You Store It.
I have a bad feeling about this.
On WGN.FM, the Super G, the Streamliner, in Chicago. Here's a text at 312-521-8600. American Graffiti was a piece of crap.
What? Oh, that's not true.
That is wrong.
It is so wrong. There'd be no Happy Days.
Well, think about it like this. That movie cost $750,000 to make. And when they screened it, he could not get a distributor. Yeah. Who was Francis Ford Coppola?
Zotrope. Yeah.
Who distributed it.
Yeah,
because
the studio.
The other studio heads didn't like it. $750,000 it made, I believe, for the time, $70 million.
And made stars out of, Richard Dreyfuss. Harrison Ford. And all, yeah.
Well, Ron Howard was in it. Cindy Williams was
Laverne
in it.
Laverne and Shirley. Well,
Toad.
Yeah, Shirley.
Toad.
Toad was in it.
Toad went on to make a lot of movies, even though you still know him as Toad, but he was in Untouchables.
Yeah, about 10 people that came out of that. What's her name? Three's Company.
Suzanne Summers is the woman.
Oh, that's
woman.
Right. She
yep.
was the hot...
The blonde in the car. Yeah.
Thank you.
And not only that, but that was really the first movie where they realized that they could sell soundtrack albums and make a ton of money. Because that
that's
American
right.
Graffiti soundtrack...
A lot of songs in there.
...was one of the biggest albums of the year. And really helped... to introduce a whole generation to that 50s and 60s music,
oh
which
gosh,
had forgotten about it.
There were so many poodle skirts sold after that.
My gosh. I mean, that was where I first actually
saddle
heard.
Saddle shoes.
That's the first time I heard Buddy Holly was from that album because my cousin had it.
Yeah. It was a big deal all the way around. It was a huge success. And you make something for $750,000, it makes $70 million. That's a good profit.
That's a pretty good profit.
And I should, just to be fair... I've just remembered now,
you know, George Lucas was involved with Indiana Jones, so that was a pretty big deal, too. So we may see that big giant ball that chased,
rolled down after Harrison Ford.
Chased Indy at the beginning.
Will the melting head be on exhibit?
Oh, hopefully, yeah. Or maybe we'll finally see the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Kids get to line up and have their hearts pulled from their chest. It'll be fun.
So maybe that will offset the Howard the Duck.
I don't
wing.
Think Howard's going to be represented, my guess.
But Indy is, I mean, let's be honest, so that is pretty impressive.
The Illinois Lottery wants to help make Illinois free of HIV and AIDS. Red Ribbon Cash on sale now across the state when you buy this instant ticket from the Illinois Lottery. Win or lose, you'll be contributing to the fight against HIV/AIDS. 100% of net proceeds from Red Ribbon Cash fund HIV/AIDS research and education in Illinois. So far, this ticket has raised over $5 million, and the lottery expects to add another million to this fund this year. In addition to Red Ribbon Cash, the lottery offers three other special instant tickets that support breast cancer research, multiple sclerosis, and our military veterans. Remember, when you play the Illinois Lottery, 30 cents of every dollar you spend will benefit our great state. Over the years, the lottery has contributed over $18 billion to the state common school fund to assist K-12 public schools, as well as the capital projects fund to build roads and bridges. Play responsibly. Don't scratch and drive. You must be 18 or older to play. 312-521-8600. That is the text and the phone number.
Do you think you're the only major media person in the city that is actually speaking kind of truthfully or at least skeptically about
I don't know. I haven't
museum.
Heard anybody else. Have you heard anybody else?
Well, I'm just looking at the papers. I mean, Sneed is saying Chicago, George Lucas has given you a tremendous gift, and bravo.
Yeah, we have given him a gift.
You know,
a dollar for a sweet piece of land.
You know, bravo. Chicago is a lock for them. I mean, you know, there's all this stuff. And you know that everybody's championing this on television, and, oh, they're all excited, and
I think it's got that kind of Olympic giddiness about it. On the front of the Sun-Times, first reported by Sneed, and I always find that amusing. I'm thinking, unless we're being attacked and you have inside information, I don't know what that means.
This museum is not life or death.
Who cares if you're... I mean, it's going to be reported, and you won't be remembered as being the first. Anyway, his kind of town, Chicagoland's George Lucas Museum. And with all the other stuff going on that we've had to deal with, this doesn't seem like a priority. And to give somebody, like I said, a piece of land for a dollar, how do we benefit from that? Okay, all that aside, what about all the other stuff that's been going on that we can't seem to get a handle on? Is that just going to be smokescreened by all this for now?
Well,
I know you take whatever good pub you can get, but it doesn't make any of the other problems go away. And they don't seem to have any kind of fix for that.
No, but what I like is the fact is that we can talk about it. You bring this up, and you bring the discussion, and hopefully people, I think it's, even if people could say, well, geez, how come you're so down and everything, it's still very refreshing to know that you can discuss something and not always have to be a booster and still not hate the city or hate anything about it. But everybody's getting so excited about this, and it's like there are some.
I don't know about anybody else. I haven't heard
any
other
shows. Well, I'm just saying, they just had something on television.
Well,
everybody's excited about
well,
the.
They
you know,
can't. Listen.
They're just showing little kids drawing pictures of Princess Leia and Darth Vader now, and they're walking around.
They don't do editorial. They just report things, and everything is kind of goo goo gaga because they're the news operation. They've got to be homies for the town entirely.
We beat San Francisco.
Yeah, right, exactly, that whole thing.
Because there's a certain attitude of we're always the underdog, we're always the second city, so we're always kind of inferior. That's the attitude we put out.
Right.
We always have a problem. So whenever we get something that's they think remotely good, they're going to suck on it like it's the biggest sucker we've ever had.
I mean, I think...
Well, and you pointing out the fact that this is just one more case of the connected getting more connected. Where did they hold the wedding? Where... It was shut down to regular folk.
Exactly. Nobody could get their wedding held where they had the wedding.
Right.
And they literally broke laws to have that wedding the way they did.
Right.
With some of the specifics that they had.
And I think there's a feeling of some people are going to be treated better because they're billionaires than the rest of us, and this kind of proves out again. Even when a billionaire like the Ricketts, it depends on the billionaire's politics.
Yeah.
It's so selective.
How connected is that billionaire to the powers that be here? And different rules for different people. That's what's more irritating than anything.
I just don't know how this improves the life of most people.
George and Melody want to take a boat ride, so the rest of you guys stay off the river for a while. You're waiting for that next.
Again, the more stuff we add, the more debt we accumulate for some reason. Nothing is working where things come in and it relieves the tax burden.
Well, we're still trying to fill the Oprah void, you know, ever since she left. So I think this helps to fill the Oprah void.
Even
now
when
that George
was here, the funny thing is, it wasn't like she was here. She never was kind of involved. And I know that by her anchoring on the West Side, it pretty much gave that whole area a shot, and now it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But she wasn't integrated into the Chicago scene, so to speak. She did her show, and then she would just blow out.
But she did draw celebrities here and people.
Besides her real estate and people going to the Wishbone restaurant that was a half a block away. Yeah.
She was not one who was lighting the Christmas trees involved in the city events.
I'm curious as to, did she generate revenue? Because most of the people that attended were probably from Chicago or the suburbs.
Well, she was international film. she
did international filming.
She was international filming, so that's why we did close down Michigan Avenue for her.
Right,
right.
For her to say goodbye, and then she went, wait, I'm not really leaving. Why don't you watch this new channel I have? But was that really a revenue generator, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It did jumpstart, and that would have happened anyway, because like we said earlier, these areas that were crap, the city has to move somewhere if they want to keep things moving, and these areas that were not developed are going to be developed at some point, and that was next to go.
And like you said,
the convention had really
a lot to do with opening up the West Loop area there as much as Harpo did. That and the university started buying out all those loft buildings and revamping those. It wasn't strictly Oprah.
I wonder if San Francisco's politicians are getting heat for losing this.
I don't know.
You know?
It's not the politicians. I think it's the park service. Because it was the national park land that they wanted to use in San Francisco. And they kind of went, that whole concept of it being national park.
But I wonder if this is still, is this a big deal just because we got it now? Do we feel it's a big deal and everybody else is going, okay, so what, it's a museum? And we're acting like the second coming just happened here.
I'm not.
I know. I'm saying we collectively.
What would happen if we had won the Olympics? Great, we won the Olympics.
No.
And now the reality of the situation.
The reason why we think like this is because we've been screwed over so many times with these deals that we're punch drunk. And like I said, I'm going to be the one, I'm hoping other people say something when they see that it might not be the right thing. And it doesn't seem like it's a deal that's going to do us any good and takes up a nice chunk of land on our lakefront for a dollar.
For a dollar. It's that dollar. That's what bugs you, right? It's the whole dollar part.
The guy made $5 billion, going to peel off a big dollar bill for a prime piece of real estate.
He's going to be even much of a jerk. He's going to bring 100 pennies.
Yeah. So really, here's your money.
Or
count them out.
One of those big giant checks, like a lotto check.
Yeah. Even...
Here's your dollar. That's wrong. 312-521-8600.
Yeah, but we love our city, don't we?
Well, I'm trying to, but they make it so freaking hard.
And then you give them these ideas, you offer up your brilliance, and it gets thrown back at you.
Yeah, and then I see a guy last night on the Eisenhower in hip boots with a pole looking for the manhole relieve the water.
I think it's here.
And that's what I'm getting for my tax dollar? I want to see armies of guys jumping into action. It's a major expressway.
Yeah.
There are people sitting in miles of traffic. I want to see something happen right away.
Because I was on the Ike yesterday, and I would say the slowdown started around Independence.
Right.
When did that flood happen? At what time? 6?
Right around the 6 o'clock hour.
And
so
you
left here
right after 7.
Yeah.
The rain had not yet finished moving through downtown. So it was that system, as we were leaving, that had moved through so quickly and dumped a whole bunch of rain. That and apparently a storm sewer collapsed adjacent to the Ike. So it it really was just moments for that thing to happen.
But I had...
And at first, as I was leaving, the word was that there was a crash out there. So they weren't even getting the story mm-hmm. right at that point.
I had no idea that there was even a problem. I was just wondering, why is there so much traffic? And then...
And you didn't have anything, Leslie, before you left here?
IDOT had not determined what was...
The only thing that piqued my interest was when I get onto the Eisenhower out of Lower Wacker, there's a sign there that shows the tally of how many deaths there are, so I get that
good.
Update every
That's
day.
That's always nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And
335 dead, Jimmy.
The sad part is it's almost 400. It's like
almost 400 dead, Jimmy.
You're right. I'm thinking, talk about how you're trying to get into the spirit of living in the city, and you're driving along a beautiful summer day, and look up, 334 dead.
That's the first thing I see on my way home, is how many people are dead.
And then on top of that, a lot of people were bailing off the Eisenhower and getting to see the city the way you don't usually get to see the city if you travel on the Eisenhower. And I hadn't realized how much they had done along Roosevelt Road to calm the traffic. In other words, make it impassable. So lights are set against each other. They've got these new concrete things that stick out at all the corners so you can't double around somebody making a left turn, essentially making Roosevelt Road one lane in each direction and screwed up from corner to corner to corner. It's like, come on, folks.
Well, that sign said an hour and 14 minutes to Hillside. And usually that sign at 7 o'clock
is about
14 minutes.
And underneath that, 400 dead.
Yeah.
So, good evening.
Hey,
yeah.
Have a good night.
Yeah, and then click it.
So talking about the, I guess I should mention, too, that starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, the ramp from southbound 25th Avenue to the inbound Ike's going to be closed. They have to repair a collapsed storm sewer.
So the mess was because of that storm sewer collapsing?
I don't know... Which is the chicken and which is the egg here?
How about a bunch of guys in line with buckets just
bucketing
that out of there?
Bucket brigading.
Something. I don't know, one guy with a pole, that didn't make me feel
I saw
third
that.
Largest city. I'll be honest.
And the problem is that as closer you get to 25th, there are not a lot of exits. So I luckily
right.
was
17th
able...
17th Avenue and... You're committed there.
So I was luckily able to get off before that, but at the same time, if you did not get off at a certain point from, like, Harlem, there's nothing until First
you're
Avenue. You're dead.
I like on the news where they said that two BMWs went through and got stalled. They were both BMWs. I'm thinking, BMW must be happy to hear that. Here's Carl on the blower. Carl?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Gary, you want to hear a little bit about the mess I was in last night?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm on my way back. I actually called you last week about the British tribute band, Cavern Beat.
Yeah.
So I went to go see them last night at the Wheaton Public Library. Just a couple sprinkles out there. Now, I don't know what happened here. Apparently, there was some flooding early in the evening.
Yeah, we had an invasion.
Very localized.
We had a real invasion.
There was like hardly anything out there. It was beautiful.
It was very pockety, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, on the way back, ordinarily from my friend's place in Bloomingdale, I would have made it back by 12:30 this morning, okay? Now, didn't know about this ahead of time, what was going to happen if I would have just gotten off some way somehow on Mannheim Road, you know, to go south.
Mm-hmm.
No problem, but I bypassed that because usually I want to get off on First Avenue. Well, you know what I ran into. It was a complete mess, inch by inch by inch. Now people are going all the way over to the right, which they shouldn't be, to try and get off on 25th Avenue. I think I finally got back at 1:30, quarter to 2 in the morning.
So this thing was still massively screwed up after midnight.
Absolutely. Trucks, you know, trying to get over all the way to the right. You know, to get off on 25th Avenue, which ultimately I did, but it was crazy. And I had no idea, you know, until I turned on mm-hmm. the radio.
Yeah.
And they said something about the flooding situation.
Yeah,
so
well,
it was bad, believe me.
Yeah,
I saw it
on the news.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, these people that don't know, they're sitting there, now what?
It was 3 a.m.
Really bad.
3 a.m. before they got the water
finally got it open, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, one more thing, Gary.
Yeah.
Got time?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to see if you heard about this story. Apparently, this is just in the last day or so. I guess there's a guy in New Jersey that owned a Ferrari Enzo, which is a really, you know, high-end, powerful car.
Sure.
And I guess he takes it to some people in Connecticut, I don't know, for a tune-up or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
They take care of him. So I guess one of the employees of Miller Motors or whatever, I don't know if he went out on a joyride or what, but he had the guy's car on the expressway in Connecticut now. And, of course, this thing is supposed to be really powerful, and not just anybody can maneuver it. You know, I heard it's very difficult to drive. So what happens? He gets into an accident with it. It's not even his car.
I think okay. I read this story a couple months ago, and the body shop is not on the hook for this, right?
Yeah. Well, that may be a different story, Gary. I'm not sure. This is, as written by, of all people, George Kennedy, a different one, I'm sure, as about a day or so ago, or 8 hours ago.
Okay,
I think
maybe this is a new story, but it's similar to the one I read. And what's the gist of what you read?
Well, what would you like to know exactly?
Well,
that's basically it.
The story that I saw, the guy, he tried to either get the body shop to pay or whatever because their employee took the car for a joyride and wrecked it or whatever. And they were not, they went to court or something and the body shop was not on the hook.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably a different story, just for the record.
All right, so there's no conclusion to your story?
Well, here's the funny part. To me, anyway. And that is apparently the gentleman who owned the car, again, he's from New Jersey, but he takes it to this place for whatever reason in Connecticut. I think he's some sort of betting innovator or something, sleeping innovator. He's the CEO, and his name is Michael. Okay, I'll just spell this for you.
All right, Carl, is there anything to this story beyond all these little details that don't have anything?
FUX, that's the name of the CEO who owned the car.
Is that true?
It had to be. It's on the Internet.
Of course. Let me see. Carl, thank you. Let me see. Craig, see if that name is true. That's a good name to have, FUX.
I'm sure it's Fuchs.
Mr. Fuchs? How about getting a watchdog backup sump pump for the Eisenhower? Yeah, the basement watchdog.
There you go.
Take care of that lickety-split.
A PermaSeal out there to shore up.
PermaSeal can
shoulders.
Be involved.
Anything better than a guy with a plunger.
A pole.
By the way, that is true. Michael Fuchs. That's the car owner's name.
F-U-X.
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 Fuchs. If that's well, you have to pronounce it like that.
It's
how
better.
Would you go through life? Although there's a legitimate name, Lipschitz.
Right.
That's a name.
Definitely.
Right?
My best friend in grammar school was a Putz, except it was Putz.
Putz? She said Putz? Call me Putz?
German is Putz.
Putz?
Yeah.
Well, that's a big difference. Call me Putz.
But people would look at it and right away.
Are these traffic deaths or homicides on the sign? Those are just traffic deaths.
Those, unfortunately, are traffic deaths.
Yeah, they should have a sign for homicides.
And that's the whole state,
that would
right,
be
I assume?
Very sobering.
Yeah, we're at almost 400, and we figure it was, what, 6 months? So 6 into 40.
And we haven't gotten into the vacation travel
season.
Yeah,
60 people a month already.
There's a Cubs pitcher named Schlitter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's is Schlitter a good hitter?
Schlitter's a pitcher.
So he's not a real good hitter.
No.
Schlitter.
Is that his first name?
His last name is Happens. Maybe this is why San Francisco didn't want to pony up for the Lucas Museum. San Francisco transportation officials will consider whether to approve $76 million in funding to install a net system to prevent suicides on the Golden Gate Bridge. Last year, 43 people leaped off the bridge, also endangering the lives of motorists and public safety officials who are called to respond. After hearing testimony from the public about the effects of suicide, transportation officials say the construction of the suicide deterrent simply is the right thing to do at this time.
That's a big net.
To construct the net system, rolling scaffolds used by maintenance workers under the bridge must be replaced because the project will block the equipment. They've had, what is the total that they know of that have, it's over the 1,000 that have jumped off that bridge.
Yeah. Well, because there was that documentary about it a couple of years ago.
$76 million for this suicide prevention system.
Do you automatically, I mean, do you have to die if you jump
no,
on that?
No, they have
can't survive
people survive, have, but it's not in your favor.
Yeah.
And they've done.
Are you
it's scary to drive
hit,
on it.
Is it the hit or the drowning? That's what
I
scares
think
me.
It's the hypothermia, the hit, all of it coming together at once. Because it's like concrete when you hit.
Yeah, it's got to be.
And did they say in that documentary why these people picked the Golden Gate Bridge? Is it because it's the Golden Gate Bridge and it has all of the cachet? Or
it's just it's convenient?
Because there are, what, 7 bridges in the San Francisco area. Some are more elaborate than the Golden Gate Bridge as far as that goes. If you want to really have a bridge, they've got 6 other ones that are pretty big, too. But it's the Golden Gate Bridge, I guess, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, you might as well go out in style, right?
2006, the bridge.
2006
what? And it follows
what?
The fates of 24 people who just
how
that
many,
documentary
does it,
alone.
Does it say how many people have died
I'll
jumping off
I'll see how
that?
Many I can find out.
So is it just people that are really depressed in San Francisco, or do you actually travel?
They
have
you
people. Seen the cost of living in San Francisco?
But I'm saying so you travel.
It's international.
There. Yeah, so you travel there specifically to kill yourself, then?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah, cool. I think I did hear that it's international. People actually come there because of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow, so that's pretty thought out.
And they stopped reporting on the suicides a number of years ago because they thought that was part of the reason some of these people did it. So they stopped doing that. But last year, think about it, 43 people alone last year jumped off that bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco has the second highest number of suicides in the world after the Nanjing Yangtze River Bridge. Number currently over 1,200.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
You know, I was when I was in Pittsburgh last month and we went to the baseball game, we crossed over one of the Roberto Clemente Bridge. And I meant to tell you that lining the bridge are several master locks.
Oh, the love locks.
The love locks that you hated so much on our Chicago River here.
Michigan Avenue Bridge.
Yes.
Dumping that nonsense around here.
Well,
this
so
isn't
you know.
Paris.
So
move along.
Well, and they've had to replace parts of that bridge in Paris because the locks are
too
heavy.
Yeah.
They weren't. It wasn't completely filled, but they were littered from beginning to end.
Well, Pittsburgh needs a spokesperson like me to get that stuff off of there.
Does that guarantee that you stay in love forever?
Is yeah. And you throw the key in the river?
Yeah.
That's
great.
Nice. Yeah. It's terrific. There aren't any, or there maybe were a couple after they took them all off, but it's not happening on the Michigan Avenue Bridge like they thought it would. I know some people saw about 2 dozen of those and thought,
yeah.
This is going to happen. No. Don't bring that crap
not
around.
In my town.
not in my town. What's this? Craig handed me this story a little while ago, and I haven't had any chance to pre-read it. It says EPA employees.
Not in my house.
Not in my. EPA employees asked to stop pooping in the hallway.
Of all the agencies. Yeah.
Federal employees at the Environmental Protection Agency have been instructed to stop defecating in the hallway of a regional office in Denver. What?
It's all that pot.
They've had.
they don't know where they're going.
It's the EPA, though.
Yeah.
These are the people entrusted with keeping everything perfect.
In a staff email.
Why are they going in the halls?
Howard Cantor warned, he's the deputy regional administrator, warned of several inappropriate bathroom incidents in the building, including paper towel clogged toilets and an individual placing feces in the hallway.
Oh.
So that's on purpose. That's when you get angry at something going on in the office. That and I'm sorry, but if you put toilet paper in a toilet these days, that should be a punishable offense.
If you put what?
Paper towels.
Oh, paper towels.
Yeah.
Did I say toilet paper?
Yeah, you said
oh,
toilet
I'm sorry.
Paper. I'm like, what am I supposed
no,
to
the
put
other
in?
Paper. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Where was that place where they did put it in? They didn't put it in the toilet.
Didn't put what in the toilet?
The toilet paper.
I've I had that happen to me in the Dominican Republic.
Maybe you were talking about
where
that.
Where they just said, put it in the container.
That's what it was.
Well, because but I want to say that a listener called and said something like that, too, that they were in some foreign locale. Yeah, they said the plumbing couldn't handle the paper, so just put it in the container next to the...
What good was the plumbing, then?
They have no plumbing, then. Because that's why you have plumbing.
You would think.
So if you can't handle that.
And I'll even take the scratchy toilet paper at that point, but please let me dispose of it properly.
And on the other side of the Dominican Republic is Haiti.
Yeah.
And if they can't do the proper plumbing in Dominican, imagine what Haiti looks like.
It's so bizarre because the Dominican is so beautiful and lush, and they've got farms, and they're growing coffee, and they're, God knows what all... Like major crops that they can grow there beautifully.
Coca.
And that, but they strip.
Marijuana.
Well, that too. But they strip
Horse.
The land on the Haiti side, and it's just wasteland. Like they
what
can't really.
What separates the Dominican from Haiti? Why don't people from
mountains.
Haiti just. It's mountains, right? Because it's not like, hey, right on the other side here is a lot better.
Not like our border in Mexico.
Let's go there. But it's all across, right? Separating both.
Yeah, I didn't get that far inland, but yeah, the Dominican's pretty if you get a chance.
So now is Haiti all back to normal? Remember all this? You know,
no.
you don't hear a word about Haiti.
I don't think
Haiti.
there is a normal for Haiti on their good days.
But you never hear anything about Haiti anymore,
except for the fact that they're waiting for people to fix it. And I think that's part of the problem is just that mindset. They're waiting for someone to come and turn them into the Dominican Republic, and it's. There's no amount of aid you can do to fix that
it's
mindset.
It's like Chicago and Gary, Indiana. Very close, but
same
worlds away
exactly.
As far as what's going on. And what separates us? Nothing. And just can't get it going over there. What about if George Lucas was the man he should be, he should put that in Gary, Indiana.
Right next to the Michael Jackson house.
Or they're going to put his museum up, right.
They
got
their own campus. Museum
campus. Their own campus.
Yeah, if he wanted to help, we don't need to draw people to the lakefront. They're going to go there on a good day. If you really want to be somebody with a legacy, that's what you do.
Do you think you'll go to this museum?
What's that?
You think you'll go to the Lucas Museum?
No.
I don't think I would.
Well, I'm not a big Star Wars fan. I don't really care.
But not even out of any kind of curiosity, regardless of
I'm still trying to go see Million Dollar Quartet. It's been here 5 years. So chances of me getting over there, no.
What was that other play that was here for years that was in a hair salon?
Oh, Sheer Madness.
Sheer Madness. Have you seen Sheer Madness yet?
No. That was in the basement.
In its 25th great year.
I was in the basement of a theater.
That's all I kept talking about.
The Olympics in Russia. That's right. You weren't supposed to flush toilet paper in the Olympics
the first
bathrooms.
Week or so,
yeah.
Because they weren't working.
Yeah. And you're going to run Crimea, you stupid idiot. Can't even put toilet paper in a toilet.
They've always had problems with toilet paper in Russia.
Right, either not having it,
they don't have
or
it.
When they get it, they can't flush it.
It was bad
or
quality.
Or an entire store full of it, but you couldn't get a washcloth.
Always like sandpaper, right?
Yeah, that's what it was always bad quality. It was always hard, or it was hard to get, or they didn't have any at all.
I think a lot of office buildings get that industrial-grade toilet paper because it's cheaper.
That's the worst.
But, boy, you can tell the difference.
Oh, as soon as you pull it off the roll, it breaks off in your hand.
Well, that's part of it. They don't want you to take too much. But you're right. You pull one square. Who uses one square?
One square. I need a roll.
Was that Sheryl Crow? Wasn't she the one who was saying you should only use
that's
one
right.
square?
That's right.
Yeah.
Use one square.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
Sheryl.
Yeah, well, she eats one meal every four days, too.
Apparently, you've never had a sloppy
and
Joe.
She doesn't use her fingers, apparently.
Those of us who eat manwich.
Eat some chocolate cake and get back to me. Miss Crow.
You have a little egg, feel young. Let's see about one square.
What was I? I was thinking about something as you were talking about that, and it came and went. Toilet paper, the industrial toilet paper. Oh, that commercial where that woman with the British accent.
Oh, your bum.
Is that Charmin?
Wipe
Charmin?
Your bum.
Charmin.
Charmin.
Is it Charmin?
Yeah, wipe your
it's
bum.
It's Charmin, right?
I don't know.
And then how about this? Come on our Facebook page and talk about your bum.
You talk about your bum.
What am I going to tell you? What do I need to tell you? Those commercials are
Cottonelle.
Really, Cottonelle.
Wants to know about your bum.
What about your bum?
Those commercials are very weird, you have to say, right?
The whole toilet paper industry has moved into an odd era now.
They put it on the coffee table where it doesn't belong.
Well, I mean, with those bears.
Right, they're getting bolder and bolder.
They never used to even talk. Remember the commercial was toilet paper, toilet paper. On the commercial, they were whispering it because they didn't want to say it out loud. And now they're talking about remnants.
Yeah, they show those bears with those flicks of paper.
That's
flecks
what
of
I
paper.
Mean. It's like, wow, you're getting really.
Yeah, I know a bear does it in the woods. I didn't know they used toilet paper. And then this other one really says, come to our Facebook page, right, and talk about your bum.
Yeah. Because it's almost like she's in a bar, like in a speed dating situation or something.
And she's handed out toilet paper and those wipes, those moist wipes. Isn't that better?
I want to say I saw a picture this week here it is. It's a Dutch supermarket that has like six rolls set up next to the toilets in their restrooms, so you can try out the brands that they sell in the store and find what you like.
I like that.
That's like a buffet.
That might be a reality show
that's
of some sort.
That's pretty nice. Now, that is nice.
Sam, she's showing me the picture here. That's a good idea.
Well, yeah, because the thing about it, you can't really do the samples out in the store.
You
the,
have to buy
store.
A big
right.
box.
And they are different. I mean, really.
Oh, without a doubt.
Northern. Is the best.
Oh, you like Northern?
Northern, yeah. Quilted.
See,
yeah.
I think we do Continental. But we talk about our bums.
But these office buildings, I don't know where they get these.
No. It's like stationery paper. It's basically
the same. Well,
because
it's going to be 10 cents a roll.
Sure.
That's all.
Yeah, it's bad.
And you're right. You have to work at getting more than one square.
Oh, and it's always tucked in. It's
right.
never
and
hanging.
Then you feel like, oh, you know, somebody's got some gree-gree on this.
The other problem is if you have a septic system, then you have to use some of those lighter toilet papers. Otherwise, it won't break down, and it can cost you thousands of dollars.
Well, a lot of these new wipes, you see everybody's got a wipe, not only just for that, but just wipe. And they're not biodegradable.
No.
And they say, some of them say, yeah, throw it in your toilet, and it's not good.
Well, didn't they say that some city had to totally, blast through an entire, pipe got clogged.
Yeah, because everybody's throwing those wipes in
Maybe that's what that guy on the Eisenhower was trying to deal with last night with his stick.
Right.
His waiters and a stick.
I just picture he's here like Bill Murray or Cousin Eddie at the end of, shutter's full! I found it!
It's over here.
It's over here.
Nothing wrong.
It's not so bad.
It's not so bad.
It's not a baby Ruth. I found it. That was the problem.
Thanks, Slats.
Slats Gromnick over there. I felt like I was in Podunk last night when I saw that guy with the pole.
Yeah, I mean, what's going on?
That's all we got?
What's going on in Iowa?
You call yourself a department of streets and sanitation.
Oh, God. And everybody showed that one guy. It was like he was the one
guy.
That's why it took 7 hours. There's one guy.
He just got embarrassed sitting in his truck. Yeah. I better go out and make it look like we're doing something.
Oh, man.
And, again, they interviewed this one woman. Yeah, my BMW got... She said a truck drove next to her and splashed her.
Oh, I saw her. Yes,
and then
I saw
the reporter
that
goes, and another BMW, and I'm sure the BMW dealers are going, son of a... Why do you have to mention it's a BMW twice?
Yeah, I saw her.
How about Scott toilet paper? It says here, still 1,000 sheets happen.
Oh, that's right. Remember, they used to count all the sheets.
But they're doing that thing where they make the cardboard roll bigger, and there's less paper on it. Probably the same price.
Well, I was wondering, we are going through so much toilet paper. It's two people.
It's because your wife feels so dirty.
Just being there.
Don't blame her.
But no, and I'm like, but that's so true.
You talk. I mean, she has to pull off the mop up.
But it's so true.
Because
it's
there's less paper. It's all these products. They're putting them in bigger boxes or stuff, and there's less product but the same price or more.
Yeah, because they have these things now that have like 12 or 18 rolls. When you go to Target, I mean, you can't even fit it in the cart.
But it's all cardboard tubes.
And we're going through this, and I actually to this now because I always keep it in the basement, and then I bring up about six rolls, and I have it closer to the to the basement door, and I'm bringing up rolls every day. I'm like, what are we doing here? What if we had a real family?
What if we stop with the Fiber One bars?
Jeez.
Cha-cha. Oh
my gosh. But that's probably the what's going on is that the rolls are smaller.
The cardboard insert is bigger, and there's less paper, I guarantee you.
Man. Are you over and under?
Hmm? What over. You? Oh,
over.
It's definitely
yeah.
over, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm always
Costa
over.
Rica, the most beautiful and safe and developed country in Central America, requires you to put toilet paper in the garbage.
Oh, that's nasty.
What happened with these people? They don't know how to do plumbing?
That's nasty.
They don't do it the way we do. Well, some of those countries are still just...
China, whole
the toilet goes straight out into the ocean, and you wonder why we're having trouble.
And you saw Slumdog Millionaire with the kid, the platforms... Now, that's a platform I don't want to be on.
Multi-platform.
That's a multi-platform that you don't want to be broadcasting on.
See, they did you a favor.
Thank you.
Hey, we didn't put you on that platform.
Do I have a song to wrap things up with? I think
you've kind of songed out today.
I didn't give you any.
No.
On a,
you, I mean,
on a
you
count.
Had, you had Fool Yourself, but you did Sticks yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
You don't want to keep. Or do you want to just do your... You want to go out on your theme today and do one more doobie?
I sure do.
I'd hate to bogart the whole
thing. I've already done three. Is that enough?
It explains a lot. I know I'm hungrier than I was before the show started.
That's why I use so much toilet paper. Yeah, why don't you cue that up?
A little doobie?
The Atlanta area resident.
Fire up a doobie?
Sean O'Connor is one lucky man. He was wearing steel-toed shoes, working in his yard, when he was struck by a bolt of lightning. The lightning sent him flying right out of his boots. He wasn't sure initially what had happened, but after seeing his smoking shoes, and this is what happens whenever they show these people, the shoes are off and smoking, and then they come out of the hospital with a funny hat, and they're speaking another language they've never spoken before.
Is that the way
it's always kind of is. When I noticed my shoes were on the other side of the driveway and I heard the thunder, I realized it was lightning that had just hit me. Under the most recent estimates, lightning strikes kill about 24,000 people worldwide per year and injure about 240,000 people. Wow. When you hear, what is it?
Wait, when thunder roars, stay indoors.
Go indoors.
So that's, go indoors.
That's better than getting Rosetta Stone. Who needs to learn another language? Just get just hit by lightning.
Hit by lightning. And
at least
you
like
might
a real
English.
Have another doobie.
I will.
Which doobie do you want? You got any?
I need to be struck by lightning.
You got any doobie requests? Any
I need a funny hat. They always left the hospital with a funny hat. I don't know why that is, but
their
they do.
Head's still smoking.
Right. But the shoe is always on the other side of the parking lot smoking, as it should. It's what. 5 million watts of power,
yeah.
Degrees, or whatever.
It leaves tattooing kind of on your skin, too. Like these really cool...
Lightning bolts?
Like lightning bolts.
That would be cool.
Oh, that's nice.
It's like the Elvis thing, TCB.
TCB. That's some sweet little verification of your encounter with lightning.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And then the speaking that other language that you didn't know going into it.
There have been those cases. Well, suddenly you're speaking German, and you never spoke German before.
Yeah, what if it's a language you really don't even want to speak?
Well,
I mean, it would be nice if you could speak, you know, Spanish. It would be helpful, or maybe French or Italian. But what if you wind up speaking, you know...
You don't have a choice. Yeah, you're speaking Ugandi or something.
You start clicking.
I don't think that's going to come in very handy.
Yeah. So what doobie do you want?
We did all the doobies.
Oh, you don't want to do it?
No, I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's some major hits. I didn't know if you wanted to go deep tracks or...
We'll do the stick song.
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah.
No, Taking It to the Streets? No Black Water?
No, those got played to death.
Yeah.
The ones I played, I thought were fairly coveted as good tracks, but not overplayed.
What if I just spin this thing and it lands on something?
Go ahead, spin your iPod wheel.
CCR.
What is it?
I don't know. I'll spin it again. I got Green River. You like
Green River? It's carnival season.
Yeah?
That's true.
You want a little up around the bend?
No, let's do Green River.
All right.
It is the carnival tornado medical waste washing up season, and they always play CCR at the carnival when they're refusing to stop the tilt-a-whirl, and you're getting sick. Right? Right. Thank you for listening. Back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and this show will...
Wait, just so you know, this is a short song, so you might... I don't know.
Oh, we got some time.
Yeah.
I want to say that overall, the show, the entire 4 hours, except for those commercials I read for the Illinois Lottery, and I thank them for coming over to the stream, was commercial-free. Try to put that in some AM format and smoke it.
Yeah, but you played too many songs. Did somebody say that yesterday? Remember?
Yeah.
You played two songs?
I played two songs in 90 minutes. My God, there's...
Slacker.
So there were no real commercials?
No. Craig, verify. Only the ones I read. No recorded commercials. My gift to you on a Wednesday.
Nice.
How you feeling, Craig? I know you came in a little goofy.
I still feel under the weather.
Yeah?
But yeah.
Right.
And our associate producer is out. Is
She's been out a couple days, Aaron. Yeah.
What's going on?
Got Lucas fever. Got the fever. I got the ta-ta, tutu, what is that?
Tauntaun.
Tauntaun. At-at.
And at-at. Oh, yes. Oh, like, this couldn't be better.
Which?
To have...
This weather?
To have the Lucas Museum here, and I could pull out all my Yodas now. This is golden.
Well, I hope you enjoy that wherever you work. I'm not going to sit here and listen to that. Thank
Will
you.
Will you? Yes.
Shut up. A guarded border separates Haiti and the Dominican Republic.
A guarded border?
I guess the mountains aren't enough to make you
if you're
not
on
want
the
to go across.
Haiti side, why wouldn't you want to go into the resort town and live? Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Do a little Dominican.
And I'll end with this text. Loving the fecal discussion, Mr. Hankey. Thank you.
Howdy-ho!
Howdy-ho!
Howdy-ho, Kyle!
Good night.